It's time for high school basketball coverage right here on Kansaland Radio and MSCSports.net. We've got you covered from all the big shots, the defensive plays, and all-around hoops action right here on Kansaland Radio and MSCSports.net. Now we send it to the court for tonight's high school basketball action right here on Kansaland Radio.
Well, thanks for hanging with us. We're back once again here as our broadcast continues tonight on Kansaland Radio, also online at MSCSports.net on the Sabetha channel. Thank you so much for tuning in. It was all Sabetha in the girls contest tonight. They won that one without an issue, 48-21. Again, that final score as Mary Lukert led the way for the Lady Blue Jays with 13 points. But our game tonight presented by Rainbow Communications. Find them at rainbowtel.net, providing the most reliable internet services in Northeast Kansas. Boys, we've been waiting for this one tonight. Two of the best teams in this league, and of course, one of the best teams in 3A here on the road. Sabetha undefeated, 8-0. They are number two in the latest rankings from the Kansas Basketball Coaches Association in Class 3A, behind just only southeast of Saline. This Perry team certainly has a roster that could be ranked at some point this year. They sit at 6-2 and 4-1. The other one-loss team in this league so far coming into tonight is Holton. They are 5-1, but arguably the, again, top three teams in this league coming into action tonight. So we're getting set. The festivities, the national anthem is coming up. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight. As we'll step aside for a quick timeout, we'll come back. Starting lineups and the tip-off for the boys' game. It's Perry LeCompton and Sabetha. We're back after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Finishing your degree around a busy schedule? Last class not offered on your campus? Simply prefer working from home? Highland Community College allows you the flexibility to complete one class, take transferable general education courses, or earn a degree program with HCC Online. Plus, Highland Community College offers a very affordable rate and a wide variety of class options to choose from. Find out more at highlandcc.edu. Close to home, but far from debt. With a local choice, Highland Community College.
There's a flag on the play.
What's the call?
Looks like false savings.
False savings? What's that?
Oh, it's when a shop offers cheap tires and then they double down with cheap service.
How do you prevent that?
It's real simple. You just call Wilson Tire at 785-362-8473 in Holton. Matt and Terry at Wilson Tire have loads of experience and are sure to find you the right tire at the right price.
Sounds like a win to me.
When selection and service matter, call 362-TIRE.
R&S Maintenance Services has been a leader of industrial manufacturing, support, and repair since 1996 in Meriden. From metal fabrication and repair to industrial millwright services, precision machine shop, certified welding, project design, dumpster service, and local trucking, equipment removal and installation. Proud supporters of local student-athletes. Trust R&S Maintenance Services since 1996 in Meriden.
Remember when you swore you'd never get married, never have four bedrooms and a minivan, and never have...
twins? We're having twins?
And then never happens, and becomes the things you never want to be without. For all the nevers you now want to last forever, State Farm is there to help protect them, with everything from life insurance to college savings and more. And that's the difference between just having insurance and having a State Farm agent.
Contact Gus Suarez on Highway 75 in Holton or call Gus at 364-3890.
Attention healthcare workers, is your job wearing you down or becoming too demanding? At the Pines in Holton, life and work is different. As the only locally owned long-term care facility in Jackson County, the Pines focuses on personalized care and stronger relationships with our staff and residents. With just 12 rooms in two locations, the Pines offers a more relaxing and slower-paced environment where we work together as a team and enjoy getting to know our residents and supporting each other as co-workers. Workers with flexible scheduling. We also have a couple of rooms now available. Call us at the Pines in Holton. Our family caring for yours.
At Foster Ford in Holton, we know your time is valuable. To make it convenient for you, all of our new and used inventory is online at www.fosterfordinc.com. Search through our new and used inventory, and if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 785-364-4646. And we'll be glad to help. Or you can always come see us at Foster Ford on Highway 75 in Holton.
Holton Family Medicine, now offering weight loss management services. With Dr. Lee Schnee, specializing in obesity medicine, now offers weight management and counseling services on nutrition, exercise, behavioral changes, and medication management. Contact Holton Family Medicine to schedule your appointment at 785-364-2126. Or visit online for more information at HoltonHospital.com. Holton Family Medicine at Holton Community Hospital. Quality care close to home.
Your husband is pretty handy to have around. He makes the world's best mac and cheese. He's in the Tickle Monster Hall of Fame. And he can teach anyone how to throw strikes. But a busted pipe and a basement full of water?
Honey, I think we need a plumber.
Is a little out of his league. That's where a homeowner's policy from Shelter Insurance comes in handy. We'll help get your house back in order and your husband back to what he does best.
For a free insurance quote, visit Dan Lears in Hiawatha or Don Fate in Holton.
The teams are in the locker room making their halftime adjustments. Is it time to make some adjustments to your tax preparation needs? If so, consider a member of the Optimized Tax Management Group. Our member firms provide year-round tax planning and availability to answer your questions. Visit Mike Tanking, Kay Onler, and Michelle Callison at Holton Tax Services in Holton, or Jacob Yingst and Courtney Brockoff at NEK Tax Services in Whiting. The Optimized Tax Management Group, providing the help you need when you need it.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
Got to dive right into it. Let's go. Starting lineups for the boys' game tonight should be a good one. We'll start with the road team and the number two ranked team in 3A. It's Sabetha, 8-0 overall, 6-0 in the league, atop the Big 7 currently. They'll go like this. Matthew Garber in the backcourt, 6-foot senior at 16.4 points per game. Noel Niehaus also in there, 6'3 senior at 4.5 points per game. Marcus Baumann, a 5'11 junior, 8.1 points per game. And the two-headed monster down low, Davis Roki, 6'6 senior, 14 points, 8 rebounds a contest. And then Christian McAfee, 6'3 junior, nearly 12 points and 8 rebounds a game. So for the undefeated Blue Jays under 33rd-year head coach Scott Berger, it is Garber, Niehaus, Baumann, Roki, and McAfee. For the cause of Perry LeCompton under second-year head coach Matt Simmons, 6-2 overall, 4-1 in the Big 7, they go like this. Cale Gorski in the backcourt, 6'4 senior at 6.3 points per game. The leading scorer is the transfer from Silver Lake, that is Cameron Kniper, the 6'4 senior, a touch under 18 points per game. Also a great scorer is Gunnar Ball, 6'3 senior at 15.5 points per game. Jack Golden, a 6'3 senior at 3.5 points per game. Eli Dean, a 5'10 sophomore, 5 points per game. So again, for the cause, Gorski, Kniper, Ball, Golden, and Dean. Real quick, Sabetha, keys to the game tonight to stay undefeated.
If you're Sabetha, basically, just do what you did against Holton. I mean, if you really just want to walk out of here with the win, you just got to come out and you just got to catch fire right off the bat. And right quick, I just want to kind of piggyback off what Trent said earlier. If Perry wants to stay in the race for the top spot in the Big 7 League, you got to win this game. Here's the bad thing. You're getting Sabetha here tonight on your home court. You just lost to Holton here on Tuesday night. You got to play both of those teams on the road the next time you play them.
So we're right now the top three teams in this league, Sabetha, Holton, and Perry coming into tonight. Sabetha Road Blues, cause home white. Not sure if there's many seats available in this gymnasium. We sit atop the bleachers. We are off and running, and the Blue Jays, the top team in the league in number two and 3A, will have the opening possession. Here is Baumann a touch. Garber, they set it up. A left wing three that's deep. No good. Rebound is Gorski pushing it up in transition. Kniper! It's a reverse slam and the cause a 2-0 lead in emphatic fashion.
How do you get the crowd energized with a big crowd like this? You get a reverse dunk on a long rebound from Garber. Now it's ticky-tack foul on Dean, but the crowd is into it. And like you said, there's not many seats available. These two teams are very statistically similar in points per game allowed, but Perry shoots a lot more threes than Sabetha does, but let's see if that size of McAfee and Roki affects them.
How about an emphatic 2 points to start? A reverse jam by Kniper caused with the 2-0 lead. Sabetha, their second possession. It is Baumann, a left corner three. That one in and out, no good. But an offensive rebound is put up and missed by Roki. And missing there in the second attempt grabbed by Dean. Gorski inside, missing. Offensive rebound is ripped away. As that was Golden who had it, and now a turnover. It's ripped away. Sabetha getting it back.
And last year, Roki, McAfee, and Newhouse all combined for more than 80 blocks, and Roki erased that one after he got erased on the other end. So a frantic first minute of the game.
Roki averaging 3 blocks per game, and Kniper says get it out of there as that shot is rejected at the rim. It's going to stay with the Blue Jays. 6:52 to go, and it's a loud start. 2-0 our score. Cause in front. But just like that on the inbounds play, Niehaus for two. Easy bucket. Nobody marked him, and we're tied at two.
Yeah, Kniper has two early blocks. He blocked a lot of shots on Tuesday against Holmes. He's a very athletic kid that's a high rider, but let's see how that goes.
Here's Kniper. Yeah, they go inside. Gorski, a little tough on that shot. No good. Deflected out of bounds. And it stays here with Perry.
And how about Sabetha? They got a big old pep section that matches Perry. How about Sabetha making the long travel out here? And especially the students for this. They know it's a big-time matchup, and they're coming to support.
Gorski looking inside. It's taken away, trying to find ball, and it's a turnover. Second turnover by the Cause. A 2-2 tie, not quite 2 minutes in. Sabetha trying to keep their hold atop the big seven. Cause trying to stay in pace. Good extra pass. Garber a look, a left wing three. Book it. Matt Garber from downtown. It's triple number 16, and a technical foul is going to be called.
Yeah, I think they got Garber because he turned around, got right Kniper's face. Not necessarily in Kniper's face, but he definitely said something to him up the court. No, they got Roki. That's interesting. I thought they got Garber. Garber hit the shot, and he turned around. He did say something to Kniper. So how about that? Roki, he's kind of confused, like maybe they got the 21 and 12 mixed up, but I went back and watched that Holden game here that Perry played. They talked a lot of them, and Holden were talking trash. We talked about it before we went on air. Maybe the boys' game would be similar tonight. Kniper missed the first one, but Roki might have been the unfortunate party there after that Garber three.
Well, we saw a technical foul in the girls' game, and it took not quite 2 minutes to get a technical in the boys' game. Kniper makes the second free throw. He's got three, and it's a 5-3 Sabetha lead.
Maybe Roki did say something, but I thought Garber said something after the shot. He turned around to that Perry Pep section. I thought he might have said something to Kniper who went out to test shot, but Roki might have done something underneath close to the official that called it, but unfortunate start for Sabetha in that aspect.
Very energized start for both teams in what we expected to be a pretty darn good one here tonight. Here's Ball, little turnaround. It trickles off the rim, no good. And McAfee boards it for Sabetha. 5-3, Blue Jays lead, just over 2 minutes and change in this first period. Bauman a pass to Garber. Garber rifles it in. Good extra pass. This is Preston Michael for three, and he buries it in the left corner. Michael just coming in for Roki, who picked up the tee, and Michael making his presence felt with a triple. 8-3, Sabetha by five. There is only one team ranked in front of the Blue Jays in 3A. It is southeast of Saline, and there's one from the free throw line for Kale Gorski. 8-5, big bucket there. Cause back to within a triple.
Yeah, and Sabetha might shoot him out of that zone, that 2-3 zone that they're in. They've already knocked down 2-3s. Just kind of threw it out of bounds there. But
turnover by Niehaus, first turnover by the Blue Jays.
Logan, you said that Sabetha had to come out and play like they just hold. Is that how they did, just knocking down a lot of threes? Or?
Yeah, they just came out and they just caught fire from outside. Holden had to start coming out, you know, and once they came outside, Sabetha kind of did what they wanted inside. Turnovers was a lot of it, too. Holden just not able to hold on to the ball.
Well, Sabetha came in hitting 31% from three. That is a wild shot. The ball gets his own rebound. He misses that one. Tipped around a couple of times, and McAfee able to clear that miss. So a couple of opportunities missed there by the Cause. Blue Jays have it with a three-point lead. Here is McAfee, inside, on the block, good extra pass, Garber, left wing, three, got it again, Matthew Garber from downtown, 6 points, a couple of triples, now 17 threes on the year, 11-5, Sabetha by six.
And guys, you could argue there's a lot of great players in the Big Seven League on the guys' side of things. Matthew Garber might be the best player in this league.
Matthew Garber might be the best 3A player in the entire state, yeah. At that fact, I mean, this is the second time I see him, and that dude just has unlimited range. Roki's going to come back in, and Ty Williams is going to be the first sub for Perry after that Niehaus foul. So
it was on Niehaus. That is his first team foul, number two. So Roki back in after picking up the tee. And then Ty Williams, the senior, off the bench. Sixth man for Matt Simmons, second-year head coach for Perry. The Cause to throw it in underneath their own bucket. 4:20 to go in this quarter. Williams gets his first touch, kicks it back out. This is Golden who drives, lost it. Couple bodies hit the floor, and a jump ball. Possession arrow will keep it right here with Perry LeCompton. For the Cause, another opportunity. 11-5, trailing Sabetha by six. Not quite to the halfway point in the first quarter. Yeah, both these teams can score. It's Cos came in averaging 58.4 points per game. Blue Jays at 59.2. Here's a drive and another block shot. McAfee gets it, saves it in the corner. McAfee and Roki, Twin Towers to say the least underneath. They are just feasting here early defensively. Roki a touch after coming in. Drive, shot is up, no good, but Kneiper picks up the foul. Good drive by Roki. He'll shoot two.
And let's not forget, Cameron Kneiper, they know each other pretty well. Obviously, Spezza plays Silver Lake after Burlington the following week. Cam Kneiper's from Silver Lake, so we'll see that matchup here as well.
So Kneiper again, the first foul. Roki will shoot two. He has struggled at the line, 47%, missing the first. He is taking the second most free throws of anybody on this team. Barber has taken 41 attempts. That's the most for the Blue Jays. 11-5, 6-point advantage for Sabetha. 3:55 to go first quarter. Second good by Roki, his first point tonight. And it's a 12-5 lead for the Blue Jays after that 1-for-2 trip.
That's a 12-3 run after that opening dunk by Kneiper to start the game. So he could take a long three.
That's an air ball, and fighting for it is Ball. Gets it back, and he puts it up and in. So maybe not the best look by Kneiper, but Ball bails him out with the offensive rebound. And stick back makes it 12-7 at 3:30 to go.
Yeah, that's what makes Ball so effective, is he's so good on the offensive glass. They're going to switch up and go to a little 1-3-1 here. But
Kneiper at the top of that zone.
Yeah, you got to watch. Oh, he might get another run out here.
There's a steal. Kneiper lays it in for two. Well, the top of that zone, and he picks off the pass and lays it in for five, and it's now 12-9. Cos back to within three. Nice little spurt here by Perry. Here's Bauman right side on the wing, backing things up. Kneiper kind of shading him a little bit. Long skip pass to Michael. Michael looking towards the corner, now finds Garber in the paint, pulls from the free throw line, swish. Pure jumper, Matt Garber, he's got eight, and it's 14-9. 2:45 left in this frantic-paced first quarter. Looks like the Blue Jays going man-to-man. Williams has it, touch on the left wing, getting a ball screen from Golden. Good switch. Michael nearly took it away. Williams gets it back and back to Kneiper. Here's Ball, free throw line, spin. Shot is up, deflected out of bounds, and last touch by Golden, and it's Sabetha basketball.
That was a lot of contact. Ball spun in and got hit from both sides, and no call, and it was off of Golden, but thought there might have been a shooting foul there, but Sabetha's going to get one, and they have a chance to extend on that five-point lead.
There is four fouls committed here, two by each team in the first quarter, down to 2:20 left, 14-9 Blue Jays. Cos nearly come away with a steal, but out of bounds underneath, Sabetha will throw it in. Garber with 8 points in the first quarter. Timeout by an official, and
they're going to take Gunner Ball out. He's got some on his jersey, or it's on the back side, so we can't see it. He's front facing us right now. And
I think they're saying he's got blood on his.
So Dean's going to have to replace him for the time being. Might quickly have to switch a jersey here.
Yeah, you can see a little bit on the back of.
So you have to wonder whose blood that is, though. I don't see Ball bleeding at all, but see what number he's going to have to switch to here from number five, what their blood jersey is.
Inside, a lot of contact and hustle and muscle, no doubt, from Davis Roki, who now has three. 16-9, lead back to seven. So after the call has got back to within three, four quick points, find the Blue Jays to get it back to seven. And now Kneiper, contested shot, no good. He probably wanted a foul there. Garber gets the miss and walks it up the floor from left to right. Minute 50 to go, first quarter, 16-9, Blue Jays. Here is Roki at the free throw line, bouncing it to Garber. Now McAfee, baseline drive, rejected by Kneiper, and it's picked up in the corner for Perry by Gorski. Gorski at midcourt is bumped and fouled. They get Garber with his first.
That's already three blocks for Kneiper, and backing up, and our ball is switching. It looks like he's going to be number two for the rest of the night. Changing into that blood jersey they have. He's going to be Mr. 2, changing from number 5 for the rest of the night.
Well, so Gunner Ball switching jerseys on the sideline. Needs to get back in there for the cause. Down 7, late first quarter. Williams had it rejected out of bounds from behind. I think he tried to pull up from the free throw line. So Here comes Gunner Ball back into the game. Cause will throw it underneath their own bucket. Down 7 at 16-9 in the first quarter. Buck 21 left. Here comes Nathan Boost as well.
And it's kind of intriguing. Obviously, you know, he had the blood on his jersey. You would think that they would try to see if they can't maybe do something, some solution or something.
Well, where did it come from?
That's why.
There's such a weird spot on his back that it came from the outside. So it's someone else's blood. But
okay, normally, if you look at it, the scorebook that the head official has at the scoring table, usually once he's got the lineups and the numbers, it's dead set. If you have a different number, it's usually a technical.
Interesting.
Obviously, with this, who knows?
Yeah, true.
How they do that, but that's usually what it is. If you have the wrong number written down, something like that, or you don't have somebody down and they come in, it can be a technical foul.
Missing inside, Roki. Rebound chased up. It's Kniper who has it. Pushing the tempo a little bit. Far sideline. Gets to the corner. Minute to go in the quarter. Another four shot from 17, and somehow it went in.
Yeah, he's pump faking and getting him in the air. He's getting some contact. He's trying to get a foul, but he hasn't got here time. That time he got to spin home. But to your point, I think on a blood jersey, I think that's an exception on a different number if it's a bloody jersey.
Garber with it. Inside, Roki. Contact. No good on the shot, but a foul. 38 seconds remaining in the quarter. 16-11, Sabetha by 5. Roki about to shoot 2.
Yeah, and talked about his struggles earlier. Obviously went 1-for-2 his first trip, but, you know, might want to kind of foul him down low and make him earn it from the free throw line because he's going to put in more times than not on a lay-in that 6-6 frame, but might make him earn it from the free throw line.
Well, he made the first, but they blow it dead.
Yeah, they were blowing it before he shot it. And the reason, I don't know why, and maybe...
Well, Kel Gorski just showed the refs something on the floor down there in the post. You wonder if maybe what
maybe
we call a
blood,
ball.
Yeah. Maybe that's the blood. But they did wave it off before he shot. They were already blowing the whistle. He still followed through. So maybe a confidence booster.
Like
for
a, well, like a kicker when you get...
Well, Ty Williams just came running back from, I assume, the locker room. So maybe he was the guilty party with the blood or something, but...
You can just put us on NCIS. We're just trying to solve a mystery out here.
I know. It's Scooby-Doo, man. We need someone out here. I mean, you know, an interesting game. We talked about how good of a game. It's had a lot of interesting things. An opening dunk, and then Sabetha kind of took over. Now,
technical
foul, and we're trying to figure out where the blood came from. And, you know, someone switched a jersey. And
I jokingly
everything in this first half, or the first quarter even.
I've jokingly told you before how if I was an official, not many fouls would be called. Fans would hate me. I would need to see some blood drawn before I'm blowing the whistle. And now they find it on the floor. We still don't know the guilty party. Roki still has 2 free throws to shoot. And now one of the officials...
So maybe...
Maybe we have...
Maybe Roki's the bloody party, but maybe Ty Williams had some on him. He still has the same jersey, but he came back from the locker room for something.
I think it's on Roki's
finger.
Hand.
Yeah, it might be
his two
yeah.
fingers.
So this is actually a break for Sabetha in a way because
Bauman's going to shoot the free throws.
He's 14% better from the line, 61%.
So if anyone listening from NCIS is out there, we have solved the mystery.
NCIS, Kansas.
I think you might have jinxed him with that.
Well, I just said he was a better free throw shooter percentage-wise. That Sabetha might have caught a break. But, I mean, Roki did make the one that didn't count.
Bauman missing the first, so he gets another.
Interesting first quarter here in Perry Compton.
And he missed them both. Rebound for Gunner Ball and a whistle and a foul.
No,
and it's going to be a timeout.
Yeah, Perry's going to call. They might draw up a final play here or something, but, I mean, how about if they're down 12-5, you know, they had the big energy play on the long rebound reverse slam for Kniper, you know, and it's a 12-3 run by Smith, but they kind of fought back in their way. And like I said, with all the interesting stuff going on, but maybe we'll get back to normal basketball here in the as-advertised good game.
Timeout's brought to you by Schlegel's Homegrown Popcorn of Whiting. It's a full, but we'll keep it right here. 16-11, Sabetha by 5, late portions of the first quarter.
And just one thing I want to quick point out, guys. Usually when you talk about the refs, you know, sometimes you talk about, well, they might have missed this call or kind of questioned the call or anything. The one thing I kind of just want to mention, you look at the refs here tonight, you have one ref. He's done a pretty good job tonight in the girls' game he's done so far. He looks like he's the same age as guys on the court.
He does. I've seen him before.
You know, they're advertising it because of the ref shortage, so a lot of younger people are getting into it. And like you say, he does look like someone that should be a player right out of high school. But I thought he's done a pretty good job for a young guy. And no complaints on the officials. They've let him play, but you know, you're going to miss a couple from here and there.
And the calls that he's made, he's been firm on them.
Right.
He hasn't kind of, oh, well, maybe that's wrong. No, he's stuck with that call. And you know, I thought the girls' game was well officiated. It's been the same here in the first portions of the first half here, and
it just makes me kind of think about the Kelsey podcast. About they were talking one week about officials, and Jason Kelsey says, you know, why that wasn't a face mask because refs didn't call it. So I mean, like, everyone wants to be an official, but the ref has the 100% vindication on the call. So we can talk about it, but we're not repping the game. But they've done a pretty good job tonight, both games so far. We've each thought of that.
So the call is out of the timeout. Chance to play for the final shot. There's 20 seconds left in the quarter. They're down by five. Certainly a bucket to end the quarter would energize this crowd back up. This is Eli Dean with the basketball. 12 seconds to work. Guarded out on the perimeter by Vuce. Vuce making them work a little bit. They get it to Kniper. Ball fix around Bauman. Gets inside. Floater no good. Again, a lot of contact. Deflected out of bounds with 2 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And it's going back to Sabetha with 2.7 to go.
Yeah, I think they could have got Vuce for a blocking foul because he tried to slide and take charge, but Feldy was still moving. We see it in the girls' game, too. Driving in, letting them play physically. So nothing of the new there, and Sabetha has a chance to make a big-time shot here at the end of the quarter.
Well, they got to go pretty much the full length of the floor, which is 2 seconds. They get it into Roki. Garber gets a look from half court. Oh, nearly banked it in. That paused the crowd for about 3 seconds, but nearly knocked it in, but no good. Well, energized, no doubt, here in the first quarter. It is Sabetha 16, Perry LeCompton 11. Back after a timeout here on Kansas Land Radio.
Service is the key word you get when you pull into AG's service at 121 South 8th in Sabetha. Their goal is complete car care. They do custom exhaust, wheel alignments, brakes, shocks, struts, and tie rod ends. See them for tune-ups, oil and lube, batteries, tires, and computerized wheel balancing. And keep your vehicle looking good with their touchless automatic car wash. Stop in. They earn your business at AG's service, 121 South 8th in Sabetha.
Your next generation is the reason you farm. It's also why we work with Nationwide, a company that's been protecting farmers and ranchers for over 100 years. As the number one farm insurer, Nationwide helps cover your operation in a way that fits your needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch for generations to come. Call us today.
Call Roy Fry at Kansas Insurance for your farm planning needs. 785-284-7611.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
All right, here we go. Second quarter. Sabetha with the lead and the ball. Easy. 2 points at the rim for Davis Roki. Nicely done to start the second. Lead back to seven. 18-11 Blue Jays. Caws were running a zone defense. They picked it apart there. Here is Gorski, a touch top of the key. Picks up the dribble after a couple of bounces. Gets it off the ball, curls in the lane, shot up off the backboard. Gets his own miss, and I think is fouled.
Well,
on
the
putback
other,
attempt.
He pointed the other way. The official there said, might get Gorski going over the back, and they are. That's
wow, they got Gorski over the back. Interesting call.
So wipe out that rebound and putback attempt for ball, but Gorski's probably going to play with two here, and they need his size.
Just getting going, second quarter, 18-11. Sabetha by seven with the ball. Number two ranked team in 3A, trying to stay alone atop the standings in the Big Seven. Here's Bauman, a swing pass. Left side to Niehaus. Now Garber, they leave him open for three. Missed it this time. And a rebound for Perry LeCompton. Golden has it.
Yeah, you're not going to get lucky all the time with that like they did.
Ball thought about pulling up from the point. Doesn't get it. Good defense here by Roki. They get it off to Gorski, a right corner three. Pulls it, left it short, barely grazing the rim. And Roki able to rip that rebound away, and a foul's going to be called, I think, on Kniper. A little too much hustle on his part.
That's going to be two on him. So
Gorski and Kniper both with two apiece.
And they're going to have to play with that. Those are two of your better players, especially Kniper being your leading scorer. So it's a lot of your size and also, so they're going to have to be smart, and I think playing that zone is going to help them out a little bit.
McAfee a breather, Preston Michael back into the game for the Blue Jays. Just over a minute gone by, quarter number two, 18-11. Blue Jays with the seven-point advantage, caught in his own defense. Bauman has it high right. Skip to Garber, tips it up in the air to himself and sets for three, not this time. And a foul on the rebound attempts will go against Sabetha. They get Michael, who just checked back in, his first. Team foul number four. Here comes Ty Williams back in, the senior for Perry.
Kniper gets a breather. 6:32 until halftime. 18-11, Sabetha by 7. Cause with the basketball.
I don't think Kniper's going to be on the bench long, especially if Sabetha goes on a little bit of a run here.
Here is Ball with a new number after the blood on the jersey in the first quarter. Drives through some contact and gets the kind touch off the rim. Ball now with 4, makes it 18-13.
Yeah, and you might have to lean on Gunner Ball, your second leading scorer with Kniper, so Sabetha might have to hone in on him as they go back to the 2-3 zone.
Gets past Bauman. Now Niehaus has it in the corner. Bauman back high left. They get it to Roki at the free throw line. He'll dive, Euro step, and an offensive foul. Golden stepped in, took the heat, and Roki the charge and the turnover. It's his second foul.
Yeah, he tried to go around him, but he hop-stepped right into Golden. Golden was just there, so, you know, he tried to avoid it, but just couldn't. And, you know, that technical foul that went on him earlier is just unfortunate, and that's two for him. So some foul trouble mounting on both sides.
So the cause within 5, 2 minutes gone by second quarter, 18-13. Man-to-man defense here, Bauman guarding Dean at the point. Dean drives in the paint. Nice pass to Golden, shot rejected out of bounds. Stays here with Perry. We have seen, what, between two teams? 6, 7 blocks here?
At least, yeah.
There's been quite a few on both sides.
A lot of athleticism and height.
Well, Sabetha averaging nearly 4 blocks a game as a team. I would have to imagine that's probably the best mark in the Big 7, but I cannot confirm nor deny.
Kniper might average 3 or 4 himself, though, for Perry. I mean, he's impressive.
Missed 3 from straight on by Gorski. Garber going high for the rebound and rips it away from Gunner Ball, and now a whistle and a timeout for veteran head coach Scott Berger. It is a 30. We'll keep it right here. 5:29 to go, first half, 18-13. So we saw pretty frantic pace in the first quarter, and now it's been a little bit more defensive here in the second quarter.
Yeah, things have just kind of settled down, and both teams, they're still getting decent looks at their shots. Just both teams have kind of cooled off a little bit, and both teams, their defenses are playing great for the most part. And really, again, we talked about, you know, the refs, they're kind of just letting them play. I mean, really, we're just at 5 fouls apiece either way. Each team still has a foul to give before they put the other one on the line. So, you know, obviously, if you're Perry, you don't want Kniper getting his third foul. You don't want Gorski getting his third foul. Sabetha, that's the other thing, too. Davis Roki has 2 fouls already. You don't want him getting his third before halftime here. You just got to be settled in, and you just got to, you know, keep your hands up and try not to reach, get those little ticky-tacky-type fouls, if you will.
In the other matchups in the Big 7 tonight, Riverside they are at Holton. Royal Valley is hosting Nemaha Central. Jeff West is at home against Hiawatha. Of course, here, Perry and Sabetha, two of the top three in this conference. There is a long three missed by Garver. It is saved underneath by Eli Dean, and now Perry pushing the tempo with Gunner Ball. Ball, top of the point, gets inside, shimmy, layup, no good, rebound is Bauman, and had it knocked away. Fans wanted to travel on Bauman, no call, kind of shuffled the feet, but now Garber has it. We're 3 minutes into this second quarter, 18-13 is our score, Blue Jays by 5 with the ball. McAfee, hop steps in the lane, sets and puts it up and in. McAfee, his first, he's got 2, 20-13.
And Kniper's going to come back in. Knew he wasn't going to be on the bench long. He's only been 2-2 since he's been out, so Perry's done an admirable job.
Golden inside, missing a shot. Boy, they are letting them play. Niehaus the rebound.
Yeah, that's one you definitely got to call a foul on.
Garber coast-to-coast, layup good.
I mean, the defender just came down on top of him on the bump fake.
Yeah, 22-13, Garber, there's another drive with a lot of contact, and it's going to be a turnover. It's knocked into the hands of Preston Michael, and Perry turns it over. Now the Blue Jays with a 9-point lead at 22-13, halfway into the quarter. Kind of slowing things down a little bit, keeping the pace at a minimum. Bauman long pass to Garber, quickly closed out by Williams, bouncing it to McAfee. Now it's Niehaus in the corner. Long pass, lazy, and it's intercepted. This is going to be coast-to-coast, and a beautiful right-handed layup is good by Eli Dean. His first bucket of the night makes it 22-15.
Yeah, and that was much needed by a pair. They're getting in a little bit of a danger spot there before the half. That was a much-needed transition, too.
3:35 to go. McAfee, offensive foul. That's the second time that Golden has taken a charge. And that is, again, the foul on McAfee, and that is his first.
We talked about the young official. He's called the charge both times. Yes. I agree with him both times. McAfee just dropped Steph to the goal, and he was just standing there. He has the right to stand his ground, you know. He just dropped Steph right into him, and the fans might not agree, but he went right through him, and Gold just stood in there strong again. Now Perry has a chance to cut in the lead a little bit more and get it close. They haven't been that close. It's been about 7 points most of the quarter.
First touch and first minutes for Tyler Reed tonight. A junior has checked in. Deflected pass out of bounds. Cost will keep it. 3:21 to go in the half. 22-15, Blue Jays in front. This will be Kniper to throw it in. Over the top, gets it to ball, high left, faking left, now drives down the middle, spin, little pull-up floater, no good, high for the rebound is Garber. Garber now between the legs dribble and slows it down. Well, now Sabetha really slowing the tempo here the last few times they've gotten the rebound. McAfee in the corner, long pass to Garber, puts it on the dribble, gets to the corner, nice dump down pass, hangs on the rim and falls off, no good, ball finally the rebound. For the cost, he'll push the tempo with under 3 minutes to play. Ty Williams, a transition three, no good this time. And a whistle and a foul as Kniper got the rebound, and then I think he's bumped by Bauman.
Yeah, he's going to get the one-on-one here.
That is team foul number seven.
Should be the one-on-one. Yep, now the young official's going to tell him it is one-on-one.
So it is Kniper for a one-and-one, who is a 61.5% free throw shooter. Causes a team coming in 49% at the line. That's not a great number there.
No, and this is a very important front end of a one-on-one.
Kniper with his third attempt. It kind of rests on the back box and just drops through. He's now 2 for 3 at the line. He's got 8 points in the first half to lead Perry. 22-16. The deficit is 6 for the cause. Second on the way. That one too strong. Fighting for the rebound. Collected by Niehaus. Off to Garber, who walks it up the floor for the final 220. Correction, 240 in the half. So we're back to this 1-3-1. Very well extended out with Kniper up top. It's Michael on the wing. Turns down an open three, but straight on for Garber. No good. Rebound for Perry and a foul.
Wow, I think they got... Did you say Golden on the foul there?
No, I think Golden was the one who got fouled, and he's going to shoot.
Okay, he was just saying Golden was the numbers. That's two on McAfee. That was a very athletic rebound by Golden. I don't know if I would have called that a foul, some of the stuff that they have let go, but...
We're going to see Jacob Grimm come in for the Blue Jays.
I mean, you're looking at Roki and McAfee. Two guys are combining for about 16 rebounds and 26 points a game with two fouls each year. And kind of a danger territory foul-wise. Perry can sneak back into the game here.
Golden banks the first free throw. I don't know about you, but it looked like he did that on purpose.
Well,
he's a 50% foul shooter, and the bank's open here at 8:23 at night.
Yeah, it's the same side of the floor that I think it was Alexia Hayden banked a three in for Sabetha in the first game. So
that one not banked in and good, and a timeout on the floor.
Quick 30 by Perry. I mean, you cut it to four, so there's an important 2:25 for both teams. Perry. 5-0 mini spurs snuck back into the game.
So real quick, as we're in this quick timeout, again brought to you by Schlegel's Homegrown Popcorn of Whiting, just over 2 minutes to go until halftime, 22-18. The Cause are back within four. The Big 7 girls finals from tonight, the top four teams all winning. Nemaha Central, Riverside, Sabetha, and Jeff West all picking up wins. So the girls' standings right now after tonight's action, Nemaha Central stays unbeaten. They're number 4 in 3A. They are now 9-0 and 7-0 in league play. Riverside gets to 8-1. They are 6-1 in league play. Then it drops off. Sabetha now 5-4 and 4-3. Jeff West now 4-5 and 4-4. So that's how the top of the girls' standings currently look after tonight's action. Sabetha can definitely create a little bit more separation as they are in first place by themselves. Remember, Royal Valley has won the last three Big 7 league crowns. Sabetha trying to end that run. There's a shot missed by Bauman, battling for the rebound. It's finally picked up by Tyler Reed, who pushes the tempo to Kniper, left corner. Reed back to ball. Ball curls in the lane. No look pass is taken away. It's a turnover. Garber read it like a quarterback, picking off a quarterback. And 1:50 to go now. Sabetha once again slowing the tempo a little bit. Grimm gets a touch inside on the block. Ball fake, gets two in the air. Garber pushed from behind. He lost it out of bounds. And I think they award a timeout here for Perry after Golden got on the floor and got it back.
Yeah, the ball was calling for a timeout because Golden might have been out of bounds. It was hard to see from here, but that's three timeouts already for Perry, so they're down to two.
Yeah, to 30.
But, I mean, it might come back to be on them. Who knows? But they're going to steal a possession, essentially, because, like I said, Golden's been on. But how about Jack Golden lately? I mean, got a couple big rebounds. I mean, he only has 2 points, but he's taking a couple of charges, doing the little things to keep him in the game. He's not affecting him on the scorebook, but he's played really well these last couple minutes all around outside of scoring.
Yeah, and obviously they're letting him play. You like the fact that you got the awareness from Gunnar Ball to take the timeout when your player has the ball. The only thing you might say is the coach goes, hey, that gives us 2 timeouts the rest of the way. Possession error was ours if we get tied up. So we could have saved the timeout and got the ball anyway. But, again, it's the awareness you have in a player like Gunnar Ball.
Well, the call is out of the timeout. They've scored the last 5. Chance to get a little bit closer. Ball missing a 3. And a rebound for Sabetha. Preston Michael has that one. Garber to slow the tempo at a 1:23 left. A 22-18 Blue Jays lead late in the first half.
And Perry's been getting the sausage. Can't cut in any farther. Good looks, too. Just unable to capitalize.
It's like they go back. They stay in this zone. Garber drives. Foul on the floor.
The last one they can give.
With a 1:10 to go. So the rest of this half, both teams in the bonus. That was Ty Williams picking up the foul, his first, and team foul number 6. Here's Garber, a right wing 3. That is pure. Beautifully set up by Michael. Garber now with 13 and 3 threes here in the first half. 25-18 with under a minute to go.
And he's taking a lot of open threes and missing. It's just a matter of time before he eventually got one to fall. And he's going to pick up his second there, and Kniper's going to go back to the line.
And Kniper gets called for a technical foul. Number 2 tonight. We have seen 3 technical fouls in the doubleheader. So the first foul will go against Garber, his second. Now Kniper,
that's his third,
picks up a technical, and that's his third foul. Those two have been chipping at each other a little bit tonight.
Very reminiscent of the Holton game that I watched on the Holton channel. I went back and watched because Kniper was getting into a Snyder from Holton. I mean, they're kind of talking, so I think they're going to shoot the technicals first, but I mean, Garber picked up his second. So they have their trio of leading scorers have 2 fouls, but Kniper has 3 now. And I was looking down to Mark, so he must have said something I didn't see about Mark and Garber's foul. So you guys would know better than me on if he said something.
Well, I'm a great lip reader, and I can answer that question real quick.
It's kind of interesting because if they're calling the technical foul on Cameron Kniper, they're making everybody else stay behind half court. So it's Sabetha shooting the technical foul.
And then they're going to get the ball maybe after. So maybe they're going to shoot their 2 after this and get the ball.
So Kniper shooting the free throws.
You would think that they'd still let him be down there since that wasn't the technical foul.
Yeah, and obviously they're going to send Garber to the line on the other end. So
that's just kind of interesting. I've never seen them do that.
Well, Kniper getting a talk from Matt Simmons.
And obviously
head
he's going to get the rest of the half because you can't risk him getting a 4th.
Well, Kniper, with the 2 free throws, makes it 25-10. Now Garber to shoot 2. He makes the first.
We might be trading a pair of free throws here when it's all said and done.
How about Garber, though, here in the first half? 14. Make it 15. Pure 82% free throw shooter. And just as dynamite as they come in this league and playing at an all-state caliber level, no doubt about it. So the 2 free throws exchanged by Kniper and Garber makes it 27-20 with 50 seconds to go. Blue Jays with it.
Yeah, and when it's all said and done, Matthew Garber should probably be up for 3A Player of the Year. Definitely a finalist, I would say, when the season's all said and done.
We got midseason tournaments starting next week. Soon we'll be talking sub-state action. It goes by quick. Blue Jays get it to Grimm, and up top, they'll reset. Bauman high right with 26 seconds to go. Grimm had it knocked away and a steal, another turnover. And then a foul in transition is Reed, I think, is the one that is fouled and will shoot it.
Yeah, it was a good throw on the ball there by Ball. And Niehaus just came from behind and hounded him. And they have 8 or 10 team fouls, but 4 of them have a pair. And Garber, Niehaus, Roki, and McAfee. And you said Roki getting the 1 technical. So I haven't seen this many technicals in one night from the same crew. And I don't know, it just seems really interesting.
Well, the free throw there by Tyler Reed missed. He is now 0-for-7 at the line this year. I'm trying to do the reverse jinx. So he's going to make this one, right?
But
that's how it works.
This crew's not letting anything go. They're not going to let you talk or clap or anything. And missed them both, so.
Now 0-for-8 at the line.
Just went out the window there, Brandon.
I know.
So this is a big
don't take my gambling advice.
I bet they could get up to 10 here before the half. That'd be big for them.
Well, they try to set it up. 9 seconds to go. Garber with the basketball, left wing. Gets it off to Bauman, who steps into one from deep. This one no good. Tipped up in the air. Fighting for the rebound. Michael puts it up and in. His time expired. Might have got away with an over-the-back. Preston Michael with an offensive rebound, and that gives Sabetha a 29-20 halftime lead. Well, they're still showing time on the clock, but the players are running off the floor. So that is, in fact, our halftime score. 29-20, Sabetha leading here at Perry. Halftime brought to you by Wilson Direct Motors and Tires, 7 miles west of Fulton on K-16. You want the best, you got to get out of town. 110% price match guarantee, 7 miles west of Fulton on Highway 16. 29-20, Sabetha by 9. Back in a moment here on Kansas Land Radio.
Some tire shops give you a whole $5 off if you put their sticker in your back window. Guess that's their way of saying sorry for overcharging you. Now that's sticker shock. Get out of town to Wilson's Direct Motors and Tires, the place to really save on tires. And with Wilson's Direct Price Match Guarantee, they'll not only match the best price you find, they'll beat it by 10% or more. Get out of town and save at Wilson's Direct Motors and Tires, 7 miles west of Holton.
Wilson's Direct Motors and Tires. Get out of town.
Wilsonsdirecttires.com.
The smell and beauty of fresh flowers, the feeling of joy receiving or purchasing a gift. When you're ready to make someone smile, Village Sampler in Sabetha is ready to help. Village Sampler has flowers for all occasions, weddings, anniversaries, funerals, special events, and holidays, along with candy bouquets, Mylar and latex helium balloons. Village Sampler also has home decor, candles, napkins, silk arrangements, foaming hand soaps, and lotions. In time of grief, they have memorial items like lanterns, concrete statues, and plaques. Come make smiles at Village Sampler in Sabetha.
Sabetha Community Hospital is proud to offer a wound care clinic staffed by Susan Luger and Christy Hartig, as well as a team of nurses and technicians, all with advanced wound care training. The Sabetha Wound Care Clinic at Sabetha Hospital is an outpatient facility offering a comprehensive approach for patients with non-healing wounds. The clinic is open Mondays from 8:30 to 4:30. To learn more about wound care, as well as all the services and resources available at Sabetha Community Hospital, visit SabethaHospital.com.
Flatbed Drivers, CAMTS in Sabetha is hiring over-the-road truck drivers. Drive new Kenworth tractors, choose between two different pay scales. Both include benefits. Please call CAMTS in Sabetha, 785-467-3170. That's 785-467-3170.
For 41 years, Floyd's Truck Repair has handled all semi-truck and trailer repairs and on-road services. With a dedicated and experienced team of employees, Floyd's Truck Repair is looking for its next local owner to take over the business. Call or stop by Floyd's Truck Repair, Old Highway 75 and 36, south of Sabetha.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
A little extended halftime here at Perry LeCompton High School. A little homecoming festivities as Brandon Tamman here with you, joined by Trent Kraxner, Logan Bitterman, Kirk Kilman in studio, simulcasting here on Kansas Land Radio. Double dip, a big 7 basketball here tonight, also on the Sabetha channel at mscsports.net, and we got a good one here, boys game, two of the best teams, well, Sabetha the best team right now in the league, and Perry LeCompton trying to hold pace atop the standings, but right now it's the Blue Jays 29-20 with a 9-point lead at the half. We saw two technicals, we saw a reverse jam, we saw loud noises, we really saw it all in the first half, but a big three down the stretch kind of extended that out for the Blue Jays, but they lead it by 9, and what's been a very entertaining first half is Blue Jays again trying to stay undefeated.
Yeah, and I mean, Perry had it, what, like 22-18 or like 24-20 for like 2 minutes, and they kept getting stops, but they couldn't convert on the air. They got good looks on the offensive side, they just couldn't put it down, you know. Sabetha goes on a little bit of a mini run at the half to push it back out to 9. And, you know, you got to feel very fortunate if you're Sabetha because, yeah, Roki didn't play that much of that first half. He got that early technical set on the bench, came back in. He got called for a charge for an early second. The big thing for Sabetha in that second half is stayed out of foul trouble with their key guys. But if you're Perry, you got to convert more on the inside. They've got a lot of shots on the inside. And they just haven't converted. And then they're 6 of 10 from the free throw line. So that's 4 points on the board in a 5-point game. But I think they'll heat up a little bit in the second half. They got in the good looks. They're going to start falling eventually.
Rebounds are close, 15-14. 7 turnovers for Sabetha. You had 5 for Perry. Again, Blue Jays leading scorer, Matt Garber, 15 in the first half. They got 5 apiece from Preston Michael and Davis Roki. Also, two apiece from Christian McAfee and Noel Niehaus. 10 points for Cam Kniper, leading the way for the cause. They also got 4 from Gunnar Ball and 2 apiece from Gorski, Golden, and Dean. As Trenton mentioned, 6-10 at the line for Perry and a close rebound margin. Both teams fairly decent in the turnover margin, been fairly close throughout, but Sabetha had a nice push down the stretch, getting it to 9 here at halftime. We'll step aside again. It's a little bit longer halftime, so bear with us here. Homecoming festivities. We're back after another timeout here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Rainbow Fiber Internet construction has started for the Bromley Park, Jackson Park, and Mount St. Scholastica Fiberhoods. These 3 fiberhoods comprise over 20.4 miles of fiber and serve 626 residents and business locations. To learn if your home is in a Rainbow Fiber service area or if it is coming soon, visit the website fiber.rainbowtel.net. Now is the time to submit your information for fast, reliable fiber internet at fiber.rainbowtel.net.
Hi, this is Doug Garrett at Garrett Country Mart in Sabetha. Our staff would like to invite you to visit our website at mycountrymart.com. Check out our weekly ad, download digital coupons, and sign up for our weekly email-only specials. Then come visit our store on Old Highway 75 in Sabetha. We think you'll love our fresh meat and produce department. Come see us at Garrett Country Mart in Sabetha. Good food, good experienced people.
Exercising more, eating better, quitting a bad habit? These may be a few of the New Year's resolutions that you have in mind. What about your current insurance situation? As always, our all-year resolution at FBS Insurance Agency is to serve our community by protecting our friends and neighbors, both in good times and in times of need. We work with several different companies for both existing and new business to protect our customers. Contact me, Carrie Strom, or your local FBS insurance office to see how we can help.
Berwick Oil Company, proud to serve ag producers in Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri. Since 1928, when a group of farmers wanted to buy fuel at discount prices, Berwick has expanded to meet the needs of customers. Bulk deliveries available throughout the area, selling lubricants, fuel, propane, and diesel, and operating Cinex fuel and convenience stores in Sabetha, Hiawatha, and Troy, Kansas. Berwick Oil also has a distribution location in Stella and Humboldt, Nebraska, and is the area's premier oil company, offering contracts and services year-round. Contact Berwick Oil Company, where you, the customer, are the owner.
Hello, my name is Sarah Lukert, and I am a certified health coach at Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness. My specialty is teaching our patients not only how to eat well, move well, and think well, but setting up practical, simple plans to eat clean, exercise responsibly, and remain accountable to their wellness goals. Health goals are so much easier to attain when you have someone to coach you along the way. Call Lukert Chiropractic and Wellness in Sabetha at 284-0088 for your free consultation today.
We've all heard the phrase, that'll buff out. But in the collision repair industry, this is usually not the case. At Moral Collision Repair, we are prepared for the cases that take more than a buff job to restore your vehicle to pre-accident condition. Our high-tech paint booth and quality refinish allows us to return your vehicle to you with a better-than-factory paint job. Moral Collision Repair maintains excellence in every detail, from quality of our equipment to doing our part in protecting the environment by being the only shop in this area to spray water-based paint.
This is Cindy Howard, owner of Kellerman Insurance. Being an independent insurance agency means that we can offer you choice with multiple companies that we write for.
This is Christy Dole. We view our community as our family, and we are here to take care of you.
This is Cindy Weiler. Come on in. Talk to us. We can discuss what you have and what's important to you, whether it's business or personal. We can help you protect it.
This is Rob Wilson. Your claim process starts with me. We want to walk with you through the process to make sure that you're taken care of when you need us the most.
This is Christy Wilson.
Come see us. Kellerman Insurance in Holton. Plan now for peace of mind later.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
Well, they've just announced the homecoming king and queen here at Perry LeCompton High School. A little bit of an extended halftime here tonight on Kansaland Radio. Brandon Trenton, Logan Kurt back in studio as the Sabetha boys leading the cause 29-20 at the half. Again, let's go through the Big 7 girls' finals. They are all complete, of course, and we'll let you know how the standings are shaping up there after tonight's action. Sabetha, of course, in our first game tonight, winning comfortably 48-21. It was Riverside, a 15-point win against Holton, 40-25. Nemaha Central, they stay undefeated. The big win against Royal Valley, 58-39. And it was Jeff West just getting by Hiawatha. That final was 46-42. So, again, when you came into the standings tonight before the game started and how it ended, the top four teams in the standings all won tonight on the girls' side. So Nemaha Central still at the top spot. They have won five straight league championships. They shared it last year with Hiawatha, but right now on pace to win it outright. Thunder at 9-0. They are now 7-0 in league play. Riverside getting the win. A game back at 8-1 overall. 6-1 in league play. Sabetha, their win tonight here at Perry. They're now 5-4 and 4-3 in Big 7 league play. And then it was Jeff West, of course, winning. They're now 4-5 and 4-4. Bottom of the standings right now, Perry at 2-4. Holton at 2-5. Royal Valley at 2-6. And Hiawatha now 1-5. Those are their Big 7 league standings. Our boys game at the half. It's Sabetha 29, Perry Lecompton 20. We'll step aside. Again, they've added some more time, so bear with us here. We'll take another timeout. We'll come back with more here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Lifetime Eye Care of Holton is a premier eye care facility with three local doctors, Leslie Gallagher, Nikki Mirpool, and Stacy Mihus. These eye docs will wow you with their dedication to providing excellence in patient care, clinical education, and optical services with the very best and latest technology on site. Lifetime Eye Care also provides the highest quality lenses, frames, and contacts to correct your vision and protect your eye health. Online at lifetimeholton.com or stop by for advanced eye care with a hometown touch. Lifetime Eye Care is on the south side of the Holton Square.
Since 1982, Ron Kirk's Body Shop in Holton has been taking the dents out of accidents. Located just east of the downtown Holton Square, Ron Kirk's has the experience to make your vehicle look new again and the staff to get you back on the road quickly. Besides collision and accident repair for all makes and models, Ron Kirk's also does frame adjustments, professional glass tinting, plus windshield chip and replacements. Offering free estimates, and they offer local pickup and delivery. Ron Kirk's Body Shop in Holton, taking the dents out of accidents.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
DSB is now paying 3.94% on new CDs and IRAs open for 1 or 2 years. That's a 4.0% annual percentage yield with a $500 minimum opening. Brand new depositors are welcome at any DSB location.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
Member FDIC.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent, at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When you need a handyman, call John's Repair in Holton. From portable welding services to HVAC, heat, and air, John McManical will fix the job right. Call 969-6400 for John's Repair. They even give a discount to senior citizens. 969-6400 for John's Repair in Holton.
Need some team spirit? How about Lasting Impressions? Your apparel headquarters is Lasting Impressions in Northeast Kansas, specializing in screen printing, embroidery, vinyl graphics, and more. Located off Highway 75 in Holton, Lasting Impressions, where fan enthusiasm begins.
Taryn Ray, Consumer Loan Officer at the Farmers State Bank.
We offer competitive interest rates and terms on new and older vehicles. If you have a car that you found that you're interested in and you give me that information, then I can give you a look at your payment amount and if that fits in your budget. So you can go to a dealership and buy a car with confidence.
Hometown banking with new neighbors and friends. That's what I like about Farmers State Bank.
In Holton, member FDIC.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
Halftime continues here, brought to you by Wilson Direct Motors and Tires. Brandon, Trenton, Logan, Kurt in studio. Thanks for hanging with us. An extended halftime, our boys score at the half. Sabetha 29, Perry Lecompton 20. Guys, real quick, we'll take one more final timeout in a minute before we start, but I will start with Trenton first with Perry. Down 9, Kniper leading the way with 10, but he does have 3 fouls. What needs to change? What needs to be done for them to get back?
Your other 4 guys got to score the ball. Gunnar Ball's had some looks, but only has 4 points. Gorski's had some looks. He has 2 points. And Jack Golden, like I said, has done a lot of the small things, but he might need to be a threat offensively. Eli Dean we saw score well against Royal Valley when we had that game before break. You know, he hasn't done much tonight, so you got to get those other guys outside of Kniper going and stay out of foul trouble.
And then on the
key thing.
Yeah, and on the other side for Sabetha, Logan, you see it. I mean, got to keep Garber going, 15 of the 29 from him, and just trying to get some other guys to pick some things up.
Yeah, you got to just keep feeding Matthew Garber. Obviously, we talked about it. He could probably be the best player in the state in Class 3A overall. The biggest thing for Sabetha, though, you're already up by 9, 29 to 20. You got the lead. Who's the guy on your roster? And I'm just kind of throwing this question to you two, Brandon, who's the one guy, if you had to say for Sabetha, you haven't seen too much out of scoring-wise tonight?
I'd say Roki and McAfee both, really.
McAfee. Yeah. It's got to be Christian McAfee. Look what he does inside for the Blue Jays. He's done phenomenal.
I'll even say Marcus Bauman. He's a guy that averages 8 points. He's yet to score tonight,
I mean, and you got the 9-point lead already. And also, I just want to quick, trend to your point. You said it, the Perry-Holton game Tuesday night. Maybe got a little chippy in that one. We've seen it a little bit here in the first half. A game this tight and a game of this magnitude, it could get really interesting here in the second half.
Well, we already saw two technicals in the first half.
And Holton dominated that game in the first half, and Perry made a late surge but couldn't come back. So let's see if Sabetha could withstand that if that's to happen again. So, yeah.
We'll take a final two-minute timeout. We'll get to the second half after this, I promise you. Sabetha by 9 in the second half is coming your way next.
Here's Cody with Ice Automotive just south of Holton.
Well, we were in the exhaust business for so many years, and now it's a complete automotive service shop. Installed 3 new heavy lifts for 1 tons, 3/4 tons, that's bale beds, and even clear up to the 5500 series pickups we can service and specialize in diesel repair also. I mean, we want to treat your car like our own, and if we see an issue, we want to tell you about it. We're not going to lie to you. Be treated just like family.
Ice Automotive just south of Holton on Highway 75.
Kramer Agency Incorporated is your local, independent insurance agency located in Ozaukee. The family business continues with agent Julie Durand and her father, Bill Kramer. Being an independent insurance agency allows Kramer to find the perfect policy for you, but not strapped to one company. Call Julie today at 785-876-2493 to get a free quote. When's the last time you really let your insurance company work for you? Trust Julie Durand with Kramer Insurance in Ozaukee. Not only the best choice, but also the trusted choice.
Medical Pharmacy in Holton is your independent and locally owned pharmacy taking pride in providing the best possible service and care to our area communities. Medical Pharmacy focuses on convenience by offering free in-town delivery as well as a drive-up window to pick up your prescriptions. Call or stop by to inquire about the new mobile app for Medical Pharmacy with online bill pay options as well. Offering COVID and flu vaccines too from local pharmacists you know like Joe, Jeff, Leslie, and Dalton. Medical Pharmacy located adjacent to the hospital in Holton.
It's a new year and the perfect time to open a new account at GN Bank. Our switch kits makes it easy to transfer your direct deposits and payments. You'll enjoy using debit cards, mobile banking, secure and easy to use internet banking, bill pay, and e-statements. Our fast and easy loan application process means you'll find GN Bank the best place to bank and borrow. GN Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
I'm describing that to start.
Well, we are underway third quarter. It will be free throws for Perry's Cameron Kniper after they tried to set up a nice alley-oop for him, and then he's ripped down by Noel Niehaus for his third foul.
Yeah,
so a little hustle and muscle here to start.
Yeah, and Kniper, when he's coming down like Bauman was under, so he kind of pulled, or not Bauman, excuse me, Niehaus. And I don't think that was intentional. I think that was kind of to try and soften his fall a little bit. I mean,
well, even Kniper helped him up after.
Yeah, it looked bad. It looked bad at the time because he's pulling him down with him, but I think he was trying to soften his blow of being undercut. So, like you said, he helped him up, and now he's going to go to the bench with 3:10 seconds in, so Preston Michael's going to play some more big minutes. He played rather well in that first half, I thought, off the bench. But
so a couple free throws for Cameron Kniper makes it 29-22, just 15 seconds into this third quarter. Sabetha by 7, Roki pulls, he misses. And a quick one-and-done possession there. Gunnar Ball the rebound, pushing for the cause. Gunnar Ball behind the back, spins in the lane. Lefty shot is good. Smooth right there for Gunnar Ball. He's now got 6. And the first 4 points here to the cause. They're back within 5.
Yeah, Perry's going to win this game. It's going to be because Gunnar Ball had a good second half.
Here's Preston Michael open. 17-foot J. That's pure. Preston Michael with 7 off the bench. 31-24, the lead is 7. Back for Sabetha. Man-to-man defense here by the Blue Jays. Kniper with it, left wing, guarded by Bauman, not using the screen, drives, floaters good off the window. Kniper now with 14, 31-26, a minute into the third.
Yeah, it's a good start for Perry. They got it down to five, and they've scored every time down the floor so far. So,
right back to Roki, or that's McAfee, excuse me, had it knocked away in a steal. Turnover by the Blue Jays. This is Gorski. Transition layup is good. Cale Gorski with four, and it's a three-point game at 31-28.
And you couldn't, like I said, you couldn't script a better start.
Well,
couple stops, and you scored every time down the floor.
You said it before we started. Can they withstand it, Sabetha? And they get it inside. Missed shot, rebound by Roki. He'll go to the line to shoot two. Maybe to stop the bleeding a little bit, Roki a chance at the free throw line. He's one for two there tonight, but again, just 47% on the season.
And they got Golden with that foul. I mean, him and Ball were both there. I thought that was going to get beyond Ball. I mean, each would have just picked up their first, but interesting that Golden got the foul call there, but unless Roki's going to shoot two.
That's pure right there. Roki now with six. Makes it 32-28. 6:26 left third quarter. Roki 6 points, three rebounds tonight. Make it 7 points. He's two for two there.
Big pair of free throws there from, like you said, guy that struggles from the line. That's big.
Stops the bleeding for a moment. 33-28, Blue Jays by five. Here's Ball, Gorski. They want to set it up for Kniper, and he puts it in, and the foul.
They're going to say Bauman shoved him. I didn't see it, but he was right on top of it. I was kind of looking up high, and they got...
Yeah, Bauman hit second underneath. Kniper now with 16 and a chance at a three-point play.
I was looking up at Kniper to finish it, so he must have got shoved just enough underneath. Good call. I'm going to say good call by the referee because he was right underneath.
This is Kniper's ninth free throw attempt. It's good. He is now 7 of 9, 17 points, and it's a 2-point Sabetha lead at 33-31 as we're coming up on 2 minutes in. Gauze again sitting in his zone. We've seen 1-3-1. Now it's a 2-3. Here is McAfee. Roki inside, missing the little baby bunny, and a rebound for Gunnar Ball. Here's Ball, top of the circle. Thought about a three, turns it down. Kniper now at deep NBA range. Three is good for Cameron Kniper. 20 points in a timeout as Perry LeCompton has taken the lead at 34-33. We'll see if it's a full or a 30. It's a 30, so we'll keep it right here.
Yeah.
Cotton Mouth brought to you by Schlegel's Homegrown Popcorn of Whiting.
Yeah, and I was watching very closely during the girls' halftime and during warm-ups. Cam Kniper was shooting those shots. And in the warm-ups, I mean, he was knocking some of them down, so he has limitless range like Garber. I wouldn't say he's going to make it as much as Garber, but he's going to shoot it and put it up, and he's not afraid. I saw him shoot a lot of shots like that. And how about the start for Perry? A little 14-4 run in about, what, 2.5 minutes into the quarter, and this Kniper's taking over. He's got
10 in the quarter.
Yeah, 10 of the 14, and
he's a near 40% three-point shooter, excuse me. He's now got 20 made threes on the season after that one.
That's Perry's first lead since it was 2-0 after that Kniper reversed. And I said that if they're going to win the second half, Gunnar Ball's going to score, but what if Cam Kniper just takes it over? I mean, he's in the zone right now.
Yeah, that was a deep three, and sometimes when you feel it, you feel it.
Quick final update, guys. Holton gets the win over Riverside in the boys' game, 57-31.
That's a big win for Holton to stay a game back in the loss column for Sabetha, so Holton staying up there towards the top. Missed shot by Garber inside, tipped out to the three-point line, and McAfee able to keep it alive, and then he's fouled from behind.
Yeah, and that's a rebound Perry's going to want bad because they were trying. Some guys are trying to get out and run before they corral the rebound. Leads to a foul, and it's going to be the first on Gunnar Ball. So
it's on the floor. First team foul as they get it to McAfee inside, missing the layup, gets his own rebound, and then he is called for a travel.
Yeah, it's because him and Roki were fighting over the rebound. So it's a good call by the official because they're both fighting each other for it. I just don't think they knew it was each other, obviously. But Perry catches another break, and the ball's been bouncing their way so far the first 3 minutes, and that just happens sometimes.
A 14-4 run for the Cause here, and not even the first 3 minutes. Gorski will add to it with an elbow jump shot. Cale Gorski now with six. It is 36-33, Cause by three. McAfee, good touch pass, Bauman in the corner, drives baseline, stopped by Ball, kicks it back out, deflects it out of bounds. And it will stay with Sabetha. Good defense by Eli Dean to get a hand on it.
And Logan, I have to ask, when's the last time Sabetha's been challenged like this where they're just getting pretty much dominated in this stretch right now? When was the last time that been?
Probably when we did that Royal Valley game. That was probably the last time that they really, really got tested in a game this season so far.
That was a fun game. They ended up winning by 6, 70-64. McAfee, a big bucket inside. He's got 4, gets it back to within 1 at 36-35.
And ironically enough, we saw this spurt in the third quarter from Perry when we did the Royal Valley game here later on, Brandon. We saw Perry had a huge third quarter to get that game spread out.
Here's Jack Golden for 3, the homecoming king, missing it, and a rebound for McAfee. Chance for Sabetha to retake the lead, down 36-35 at 4:20 to go in the third. Skip pass, deflected. Roki able to balance it and put it up and in. 9 now for Roki, and it's now a Sabetha lead once again, this time 37-36. This is Eli Dean with the basketball, high left. 4 minutes down, 4 minutes to go in the third. A one-point lead for the Blue Jays. Here's ball inside. Floater with the right hand, no good. Tipped up and out of bounds, and it goes back to the Blue Jays. Kneiper tried a one-handed putback and kind of pulled the rim down, but it's out of bounds. Ty Williams going to check in here for the cause. Also, Tyler Reed back in as well. Gorski and Kneiper taking breathers. Now, Kneiper, of course, still with 3 fouls. So trying to keep him from getting a 4th in this quarter. I don't expect his break to be long. But nonetheless, a quick breather. Here is Bauman in the corner. They go inside. This is McAfee. 1 dribble. Kick right. Michael, an open look from 3. Good. Preston Michael has been sensational off the bench. His 2nd 3 tonight. He's got 10. And Sabetha's lead growing back a little bit up to 4 at 40-36.
Yeah, and that's the guy that's averaging 1.6 points per game. He's been the X factor off the bench so far for Sabetha. He's been the difference in the game.
Cause with it down 4. 3:15 to go in the third quarter. Ball driving baseline. Little pull-up Jay. Hits the rim twice. No good. McAfee, a strong rebound for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays on a little bit of a push here. Garber has it at the point. Throws it away. And a turnover. I think you might have thought someone was going back towards the wing instead of cutting. And this might have been miscommunication, but a turnover.
And Trenton, to your point, you just talked about it, Preston Michael kind of being the X factor off the bench. Depending on how the rest of this game goes, if Preston comes away with the win and Preston keeps it up, we might be talking about him as player of the game.
Yeah, no doubt. He came in tonight 0-7 from 3. He's hit 2 off the bench, and now a whistle and a foul. I think it's on the floor.
Yeah, they got Roki for his 3rd on a little hand check. I mean, there's probably going to be a charge on Dean on the continuation. Magsy stepped in there, but they got the little hand check on Roki first. So that's 3 on him, and him and Niehaus, and we talked about it. Preston's got to stay out of foul trouble with those guys.
Yeah, so Roki has to come out with 3 fouls. Ball to throw it in. Gorski just checked back in, and coming away with a steal is Niehaus, and they call a jump ball, but the possession arrow will give it back to the Blue Jays. So good defense by Niehaus to force a turnover.
And it was just a lazy pass by Gorski, but this is kind of the game we expected, where it's going to be back and forth, and Sabetha kind of dominated the first half, but Perry made the run, but Sabetha, showing why the number 2 team in 3A just returned that body blow right back.
I said it in the pregame, Perry has a roster that could be ranked or not, but a 3 is buried from the left corner by Marcus Bauman. And as quiet as he's been tonight, that was a loud ovation. Now 43-36, Blue Jays continuing on this nice run, but the cause get one back. The bucket by Tyler Reed, his first off the bench, makes it 43-38. 2:20 to go in the third. Still a zone defense here by the cause. 2-3 variety. McAfee inside. Blocked by Gorski. Ball's on the floor. In the paint. 2 bodies each side going at it. And we get 1 call, a jump ball, and the possession arrow, actually a timeout's going to be given to Sabetha. It is a full timeout. We'll follow suit. 2:07 left third quarter. Sabetha 43. Perry LeCompton 38. Hang with us back after this on KMCA and KMCA.
To be successful in the agricultural market these days, you need the right equipment, the highest quality seed, and a relentless work ethic. With so much riding on the bottom line, can you afford to have anything but the best for crop protection? Go with the best. Call Midwest Crop Insurance in Seneca, Kansas, for peace of mind on your piece of earth.
Call Beth Dieters, the right agent, to help you at Midwest Crop Insurance in Seneca. Call 785-334-CROP. Midwest Crop Insurance, an equal opportunity provider.
There is a flag on the play.
What's the call?
Looks like false savings.
False savings? What's that?
Oh, it's when a shop offers cheap tires and then they double down with cheap service.
How do you prevent that?
It's real simple. You just call Wilson Tire at 785-362-8473 in Holton. Matt and Terry at Wilson Tire have loads of experience and are sure to find you the right tire at the right price.
Sounds like a win to me.
When selection and service matter, call 362-TIRE.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
2:07 to go, third quarter. Out of the timeout, Sabetha with the ball and the run currently. They're back in front, 43-38 after the Cause had rallied to turn a nine-point deficit into a lead here in the quarter. Sabetha struggling with it on the ground, but Michael able to get it back. And now a whistle and an intentional foul is going to be called against Ty Williams. And McAfee was on his back, and I didn't see it.
From what I'm hearing from the fans, what the officials just showed Coach Simmons, I guess he pulled, was it McAfee or Roki on the floor?
McAfee was on the ground.
I guess he pulled him back down. I didn't see it either. I mean, Perry should have came away with that loose ball, but McAfee was the ultimate hustle play getting on the floor, so it's going to be an intentional foul, and they're going to make McAfee shoot. He's a 39% free throw shooter. I didn't see it up here, but they're going to give an intentional foul. It's two big free throws here because they're going to get the ball back. Could be a potential 4 or 5 point possession.
43-38, and McAfee, calm and cool, buries the first free throw now. He's got five.
I've been meaning to ask, is Matthew Garber taking a shot this quarter? I don't think he has yet.
He's been quiet for sure. Two free throws good by McAfee, who's just a 39% foul shooter. Gets the lead back to 7 at 45-38 with a 1:52 to go in the quarter.
He hasn't taken a shot yet, and Perry made that big run, and his team responded for him.
Well, we've seen now two technicals and an intentional foul, and we still got a quarter and change to go in what's been an exciting game to this point, a lot on the line. McAfee inside, blocked, tipped out of bounds. I think it was last touch by McAfee. At least from my angle, that's what it looked like.
Yep,
and it is Perry Ball.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with that. Golden and Kniper are going to come back in for Williams and Reach. They're going to get their starting five back. And I agree with you. Ball and Gorski blocked, and then McAfee lost it trying to get it back. But Perry really needs a bucket. They went on that major run, took the lead.
What a swing,
and
though.
And then Sabetha went right back at him, you know, body blows after body blow.
A minute 45 left in the third. Here is Ball, a corner three. Left it way short. Rebound and stick back is banked in. Eli Dean with a little bit of fade on the block. He's got four. Big putback. 45-40. Cause back to within five. The Cause were down nine to start the quarter. They took a lead and now down five again. McAfee inside. Shot up no good. Rebound Perry LeCompton. It was Eli Dean who grabbed it. Now he's pushing the tempo. Coast to coast. Layup trickles in. A little English on it. He's got six. 45-42.
I don't know what his 40 time is. That looked like a 4-4 going down the floor right there. He just outran everybody down the floor after getting that rebound.
And with a little bit of muscle to it over two defenders. McAfee inside. Kicks it right. Garber a look for three. No good. A whistle inside and a foul. I think by the reaction, it's going to be against Jack Golden.
That doesn't hurt them, though. It's only a second. Yeah.
Golden, number two. It's on the floor, so Sabetha to throw it in underneath. It's team foul number four against the Cause. And beautifully set up, too easy for McAfee. Had the pin, and he puts it in.
That's a simple play. We used to run it. You just screen across and post. You go underneath, and it worked to perfection for Sabetha.
McAfee, 8 points now, seven rebounds to boot. 47-42 with 40 seconds to go. Gorski pulls. Missing from the elbow. Rebound, Preston Michael. Michael bottled up here by Ball, and a timeout for Sabetha. So Michael had nowhere to go with it.
So that leaves them with one. We talked about Perry, but, I mean, nobody's going to have timeouts at the end of the game the way we're looking at it. So
it's a full, so we'll keep it right here.
And how about this one, guys? We're having a great game here. The Purple Palace, 13 seconds left. Nemaha Central up by one. Royal Valley with the ball.
Okay. They're on a timeout right now. Royal Valley just used their last one. I believe it was Royal Valley that took it. And we'll see how that game comes in.
We've seen Royal Valley multiple times this year, and that's a really good team despite their record. I mean, they've had some tough losses. They played Sabetha
real close. Their record, they're 5-3.
Yeah, and they played Sabetha to the final minute, and, you know, they played Perry good for half, and Perry just had that big run. I don't know who the other loss is.
Speaking of which,
maybe
timeout's over. They're coming back out here to get ready to go.
So, I mean, you look at their three losses to the top teams in the Big Seven, though.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a good squad.
Again, Royal Valley, they lost all of their production. I say all of their production. Pretty much most of it from their Super 5 seniors last year. They got all the way to the state championship, losing in the 3A title game. We're trying to see the first time in 3 years a new team atop the Big Seven. Royal Valley has won the last three league championships. But right now, Sabetha, Holton, and Perry are the top three teams. And we've said it numerous times throughout the broadcast tonight how big of a game this is for Perry. If they want to keep up, they want to keep pace.
Nemaw Central just got the one-point win.
Wow. Okay.
That was at Royal Valley?
Yes.
That's a big-time road win at a conference like this.
So Nemaw Central, big win on the road. Those two teams right in the middle of the league standings. McAfee inside, a little muscle, no good there. Trying to fight for his own rebound. It's tipped into the hands of Golden. 16 seconds to go here in the quarter. 47-42, Sabetha.
And that was a big miss because that would have pushed it to 7.
Ball for 3, short. And Gorski tried to put it back on a dunk attempt. He missed it. Preston Michael, the rebound. Gets it up to Bauman with 2 seconds to go. A half-court heave, no good. Nearly banked it in. And we head to the fourth quarter in a 5-point game. Sabetha 47, Perry LeCompton 42. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. We're back in a moment here on Kansaland Radio.
R&S Maintenance Services has been a leader of industrial manufacturing, support, and repair since 1996 in Meriden. From metal fabrication and repair to industrial millwright services, precision machine shop, certified welding, project design, dumpster service, and local trucking, equipment removal, and installation. Proud supporters of local student-athletes. Trust R&S Maintenance Services since 1996 in Meriden.
She couldn't take her first steps without you letting go. He couldn't run off to his first day of school without you letting go. Taking off the training wheels, getting a license, seems like them growing up is about you letting go. For all those times, your State Farm agent is there, with college savings, life insurance, and more. Your agent's there to help you get a grip whenever it's time.
Dad, I'm getting married.
To let go again.
Call Agent Gus Suarez at 364-3890 or visit Gus Suarez on Highway 75 in Holton.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
Well, I said it before the break. Buckle up and be ready. It's going to be an emphatic 8 minutes. As this one comes down the stretch here on Kansaland Radio, Brandon, Trenton, Logan, Kurt in studio. Sabetha trying to stay undefeated. They lead it by 5 here on the road, 47-42. Fourth quarter underway, Cause with the basketball.
Do they have one more run in them? Because we know Sabetha does. They still got one loaded, but can Perry make one more run here?
If they can start the fourth like they started the third, it's going to be very interesting. But Kniper from deep range, a left wing three. Kniper now at 23, and it's a two-point game, 47-45 at 7:37 to go. Well, I would say that's a pretty good start for the Cause here in quarter number four. Here's Bauman left side on the wing. We see this 1-3-1 zone again with Kniper on the top of it. Garber in the corner. Nice move. Baseline drive. Pass inside to Niehaus. Able to get it at the free throw line. Tipped in the air. And coming away with it is Gorski. Alley-oop. No good. No call. A lot of contact. Kniper is down. And McAfee the rebound. And now a stoppage of play. And Matt Simmons is furious
that a foul wasn't called.
That's
a dangerous play. And he got I'm not going to say he got undercut, but he definitely got pushed a little bit. And he landed hard. And that's going to be a huge loss. That's a very, very
Simmons
dangerous
goes,
play.
You've got to be kidding me.
That is the most dangerous play in basketball, a guy going up like that. And
Kniper's holding his back.
I don't think he didn't get shot where it was egregious, but I think it was a subtle enough to where it threw him off to where he couldn't finish. And then he landed super hard. And it was a smart play by Gorski. Throw it up to the guy that already threw down a reverse dunk and to tie the game. But Kniper might be done for the night. I mean,
well, and the official telling Simmons to check it a little bit. And I'd be mad if I was him as well. That's, again, it's a dangerous play. And he goes, it's your job. We'll keep it right here, hoping the best. Kniper's been so big tonight. He's got 23 in what's now a two-point lead for Sabetha at 47-45. 7-10 left. Kniper's still down.
Well, he's definitely going to be out for
and Simmons
a
just
minute
still
or two,
shaking
but
his head at the officials for not making that call. And I will say this. We have praised the officials tonight, letting them play a little bit. But I think we can all agree that one needs to be called there. And now Kniper, good, up to his feet, and appears to be walking back under his own power. So
I think he might have maybe got the wind knocked out of him. Best case scenario, looks like he's walking over fine. He looks very upset, and I would be too. You know, if I'm going up to hammer one, I could get pushed and fall like that. I'd be pretty upset myself.
Well, but that, if this is the streets in Harlem, that's going to be not well appreciated.
That's play on. That's play on.
Play on, he says.
Until after the game and then you're going to have some issues. But
well, Kansas High School basketball, it must be cold.
Yeah, but that's super dangerous, and the officials got to make a call there and protect the players at least.
It's at least good to see Kniper looks okay, and he's on the bench right now as we're back to it. Sabetha, two-point lead and the ball, 1 minute in, 7 to go here in the fourth. Garber, left wing, open for three, got it. Matthew Garber has been uber quiet here in the second half. His first points now 18 in the game. It's 50-45.
Kniper's going to get ready to check back in.
That's good to see. They need him out there. Gorski, a pull-up J, off the left rim, no good. Tyler Reed, the foul is Roki, nabbed the rebound.
Yeah, I think what
Reed is first.
Ultimately happened is Kniper just got the wind knocked out, which is by far the best case for Perry, and we're going to get him right back in the game. So it only cost him, I'll say, a four-point swing, because if he goes up and finishes that, and then, you know, well, a five-point swing, sorry, Garber just hit a three, but that's a big five-point swing in a game like this. It's going to be a possession or two.
All right, here we go. Back to it. Five-point game. Sabetha with it and the lead. And they get an offensive foul on Roki, driving baseline. Roki now with four and a turnover.
It's a young guy. And that's a third charge he's called. So, I mean, if you're going to get a contact, like, it's more than likely going to be a charge. And you know, he's confident with it, and that's what he's been calling tonight. So he's been consistent, whether he's right or wrong. He's been consistent with the call, and for the most part, that's what you can ask out of an official. But Roki's not happy with that. I don't know if I agree with that, but the official's been consistent with it all night. So
now the Cards get it back. 6:25 to go in the game. 50-45. Sabetha by five. Here's Gorski at the free throw line, cutting his gold in, gets it off. Nice touch pass the ball for an easy two. 8 points for Ball. A 3-point game. 50-47. Great extra pass there by Golden with the assist. Here's Niehaus in the corner, bumps, and a foul away from the ball.
I think he just caught it from the far side.
So Golden picks up his third.
Well, I thought he might have got the bump on Dean in the lane.
It's the far side official who makes the call. Head coach Matt Simmons says, you're not the one who can make that call.
So some on the
he's
back,
not close to it.
There's some on the back side that we saw there. I thought they might have got Dean on the bump.
Here's Garber with it. McAfee at the elbow, steps in, floater, short, gets his own rebound, fighting away, turning, might have got away with a walk, and they get him for an offensive foul with the elbow. Well,
I thought he might have traveled. I don't agree with the foul, but I
thought he might have traveled.
I would have agreed with the travel, but they said he lowered the shoulder, I guess. And I mean, I thought he traveled, but I don't know about a charge. But nonetheless, Perry's getting the ball back.
Well, I really hope the officials don't try to take over this game and what's been a fantastic game to this point. It's a 50-47 Sabetha lead, still 5:40 to go. Here's the three by Dean. It is short. Rebound McAfee. Clears it away for the Blue Jays. Let's let the players decide this one down the stretch. 5.5 minutes to go. 3-point lead for the Blue Jays and the ball. Bauman touch pass McAfee. Garber steps. Three ball. Good. And a look to the crowd with the mean mug. 21. And another three for Matthew Garber. 53-47. That's big time. Now Gorski tries to answer. And it gets caught in the rim. It's a jump ball possession to Sabetha. So a big swing. A three by the Blue Jays. And now they get it back on the jump ball. 53-47, Sabetha, 5:08 and counting, fourth quarter.
How about this? Perry going man-to-man for the first time tonight.
Yeah, they've been shuffling out of a 1-3-1 and a 2-3 zone all night. They are going man here, getting physical. Niehaus Gets it inside. Michael shot up short. Battle for the rebound. It's brought down by Kniper. Kniper up the floor, down the middle himself from left to right. Stops at the point. Crossing up on Garber. Steps back. Fakes the pass. Hands it off to Gorski. Up top it goes to Dean. 4:40 to go. Dean with the basketball around his screen. Left side, Golden in the corner. Closed out by Michael. Dean gets it back up top. Driving down the middle. Splits two. Layup good and the foul. How about the play by Eli Dean? 8 points and a chance at three. 53-49 now at 4:31 to go. Yeah, didn't see the foul.
They got knee out for his fourth, and Roki, who has four, is going to come back into the game. But how about Eli Dean in the second half? He's made some big-time shots. He's just missed a three that would have tied the game, but it looked good, or good-looking stroke anyway. So how about the sophomore making some big plays in a very big game here, big free throw.
Dean, his first free throw attempt, in and out, no good. Rebound for Roki.
Free throws are going to come back to haunt Perry. You know, they've struggled to shoot it from the line tonight.
Blue Jays with the ball up four, 53-49 at 4:20 to go. McAfee underneath his feet a little bit, but gets it back. Roki, a little 17-foot J from the wing, no good. Tipped around, and a rebound for Perry. It's Golden collecting. Here's Ball pushing. Pulls it up, a three ball, nearly banked it in, no good. Ball gets his own rebound, puts it back and in. 10, and an offensive rebound to boot for Ball. It's a two-point game, 53-51 at under 4 minutes to go. Here's Garber, man-to-man. Defense here by the cause. Garber pulls up from 15 straight on. It's good. Boy, ice in his veins. Matthew Garber now with 23, 55-51 at 3:40 to go. That's just the best player taking over for the Blue Jays. Here is Eli Dean atop the circle. Now on the point, driving past Bauman, layup, no good, but he draws the foul and will shoot two.
And just talked about how free throws might come back to haunt Perry.
McAfee now with three.
I got him for four.
Or correction, that could be four. Yeah, you're right, it is four.
So they have Niehaus, Roki, and McAfee with four. So, I mean,
now things got real quiet. One of the officials. Oh, but now we're pulling in both coaches here at the scorer's table.
Something wrong with the scorebook, I don't know.
So a quick pause in the action. As of right now, it should be Eli Dean getting set to shoot free throws. And what is right now a 55-51 Sabetha lead at 3:27 to go. So now the officials huddled up in between everybody in the paint, I think.
Well, it was a clear cut. It was a clear cut foul, and Dean should obviously be the one. So something wrong with this. Maybe the scorebook needed some clarification on something, but I said Perry desperately needs these free throws. They struggled tonight. Close games, those can come back to bite you if you don't win.
So Dean puts the first free throw up, and it got real quiet in here. Dean now with nine. Dean is just a sophomore, played last year as a freshman. His second is good. 10 points now for Eli Dean, makes it 55-53. Blue Jays hanging on to a two-point lead at 3:26 to go.
I think they might just be getting him a quick breather or some, because he's been harassing Matthew Garber to the best of his abilities, and going to put Ty Williams in there for him, and he's going to take the duty of trying to slow down Garber.
So Ty Williams now guarding Garber. Garber pulls up right corner. This one is short. Foul on the floor. And it looks to be on the reaction against the Blue Jays.
And that's it for Christian McAfee.
And McAfee is fouled out of the game.
I was about to say, that's going to be a big call either way, because Perry's shooting 1-1 now. And, you know, McAfee was very big in that third quarter, and and that Sabetha run, it's going to be Kniper at the line. So it's going to be 1-1, but
a chance to tie the game here at the line for Cameron Kniper. McAfee fouls out unofficially, 8 points and 10 rebounds.
I think both fans, and to their credit, have been upset with the officiating. There's definitely been some missed calls, but for the most part, I think I felt as if they've done a good job, but they've definitely missed some calls both ways. But that's going to happen in a basketball game, and every fan knows how big this game is, so the intensity's a little higher.
And he misses. Kniper missing the front end of a 1-1. So Sabetha holds on to the two-point lead. They get the ball back with the rebound there by Bauman. And now Bauman with it. Up top it goes to Michael. Gets it back to Garber. High left on the wing. Guarded by Williams. 3 minutes to go in a two-point game. Garber shaking. Gets by the defender. Missed the layup and a rebound for Gorski. Million-dollar move with a 10-cent finish. Here's Gorski. Thought about pulling. Now ball with it. Free throw line. Dives in. Left-handed layup. No good. Off the rim. Offensive rebound by Golden. And a Kniper three. This is an air ball. Another offensive rebound for Ty Williams. Now ball for the lead. In and out. No good. Gorski the rebound, but a foul.
Is that an inadvertent whistle?
This has to be.
If so, the jump. Gorski got the rebound on inadvertent. He's going to put it back up for a layup because it cleared out. And Perry has the possession. So if that's an inadvertent whistle, the ball's going to go back to Perry. But Perry had a layup after that Gorski offensive rebound. I mean,
Garber got blasted from behind. I thought this should have been a foul on Perry. But you're right about the inadvertent whistle if that was the case.
That's going to be Perry's ball. He said Perry's on the ball. So I think it's inadvertent. I think he thought there was going to be a call. But I think it was just guys going up. And just, Garber did get blasted from behind. It could have been over the back, but
I believe that was actually Bauman that got drilled.
Yeah, it was Bauman or Garber.
Yeah.
Garber, one of them, but
say he went up to get it, and all of a sudden you could just see Gorski just ran right into him.
Gorski had a layup, though, so that would have tied the game. So let's see if this...
Cause had, like, four shots there. And there's a steal by Roki in the backcourt. And Roki got knocked down. Bodies are on the floor.
And ball call on timeout.
And a timeout has been given to the Cause. What a sequence.
Wow. This game is crazy. This game's at everything. This is...
Big
seven
is wild.
Yeah, you want to talk about a big seven league game.
This has had everything: physicality, technicals, intentional fouls.
We'll keep it right
everything here.
Timeout brought to you by Schlegel's Homegrown Popcorn of Whiting. As we kind of switch the gears real quick, when it's time for a break and you're looking for the perfect snack at the concession stand or in your own living room, try Schlegel's. Many flavors of homegrown popcorn. It's the perfect timeout snack.
Another quick score update.
What do we got?
Trent and Brandon. Jefferson County North gets the win over Jackson Heights, 43-37 in the boys' game.
Okay.
Jackson Heights boys have kind of came on strong after Christmas break. You know, we've called a couple of their games. They're 0-4, 0-5, but they've won a couple out of the break. So
they had won 3 out of 4 coming into the action tonight, but let's not steer away from what we got here.
Yeah.
Again, it's late. Trenton said it. We've seen a little bit of everything. We've seen two technical fouls. We've seen an intentional foul. We've seen a player get undercut. We've seen coaches yelling at officials. We've seen officials yelling at coaches. We've seen physicality, great offense, good defense.
It's just
a little bit
of night in the Big Seven, right?
Yeah.
It's another night. And
you got to think, after this game's over, not only are the refs, both Sabetha and Perry, they're going to be happy this game's over.
Well, and again, real quick, how this makes this a little bit more important. Holton, as you mentioned, already won tonight, so they stay just a game back in the loss column. They're now 6-1. Perry's trying to get to 5-1 if they can spring the upset here. Sabetha, again, number 2 and 3A, undefeated at 8-0. 2:20 to go. Perry down 2 with the ball. 55-53. Here's Paul, left wing, guarded. And a driving layup, no good. Good defense by Roki and a rebound for Niehaus.
Perry's had about 5 chances to tie or take the lead, just unable to finish. And
now 2 minutes to go. Garber with the basketball. 55-53, the Sabetha lead. Roki wants to set a screen. Garber, a little hesitation on Kniper, stops on the block, banks it in over Kniper. Garber now with 25 in the game. It's 57-53 with a minute 43 to go.
And if you're Sabetha and the game's on the line, that's who you want with the ball.
Kniper up top, drives, layup good. Cameron Kniper matching Garber with 25 of his own. 57-55, 90 seconds to go.
I think we can all agree this has been as good as advertised when we hyped it up and coming into this
game. If we're not doing the return game, we may need to here in the next month. And Garber takes it in. Now with 27, a left-handed layup. 59-55 with a minute 10 to go. Kniper wants to do it again. Works to the left wing, guarded by Garber. Gets around Garber. Floater with the right hand is good. Cameron Kniper and Matthew Garber just exchanging buckets here late. A minute left in the game. 59-57, Sabetha by 2.
And right now it's just 1v1 basketball. Garber's coming down, taking care of it, and then Kniper. It's just basically one-on-one.
Kniper with 27. Garber with 27.
They're going to run that clock. I mean, why not just run the clock? You're winning by 2.
Down to 40 seconds. DeBetha still holding on to it, bleeding this clock out, fouls the rest of the way, putting teams in the bonus. And there's the whistle and the foul. This is going to be a 1-1. Toss foul against Eli Dean. That's his second team foul, number 7. And the one guy you probably don't want to put on the line is Matthew Garber.
Yeah, Roki had the ball for about a quick second when he threw it away, and Simmons, that's when Coach Simmons for Perry wanted them to foul, because obviously Roki only a 47% free throw shooter, Garber 82, and he's already 2-for-2 on the night, but you can't just let him run the clock out, so you have to foul him eventually.
So they take it down to 35.1 seconds. Garber's free throw is pure. He's closing in on a potential 30-burger.
And you guys just think about this. This is only the first time these two teams will match up. They'll play again. It's about to hear later on. Can you imagine? Both of these teams are 3A. They're both in separate sub-states. These two teams could possibly play for the state championship.
That's not impossible. Not impossible at all. Garber has been sensational tonight. He makes the second. 2-for-2 there. 29 points. 61-57. 30 seconds to go. And a timeout for Perry LeCompton.
Just imagine if this was your state championship game right here. This would be a tremendous game to watch. I think you'd have a lot of people wanting to watch it.
I think we would have coverage of that game if that was the case. But DeBetha's trying to hold on. 61-57. We'll take a quick 30-second timeout. We're back after this.
Attention healthcare workers, is your job wearing you down or becoming too demanding? At The Pines in Houlton, life and work is different. As the only locally owned long-term care facility in Jackson County, The Pines focuses on personalized care and stronger relationships with our staff and residents. With just 12 rooms in 2 locations, The Pines offers a more relaxing and slower-paced environment where we work together as a team and enjoy getting to know our residents and supporting each other as co-workers with flexible scheduling. We also have a couple of rooms now available. Call us at The Pines in Houlton. Our family caring for yours.
103.9 FM KNZA.
Well, back to it here. Last 30 seconds in this game. Caught out of the timeout. Down 4, needing a bucket here. 61-57. Blue Jays trying to hold on.
Also, a quick score update. Just over a minute. Minute 46 to be exact. Jeff West about 10 minutes away. Up by 5 over Hiawatha.
All right. So there's another big 7 tilt here tonight, but I don't think any Big 7 game tonight rivaled what we had here, and it's still going. All right, here we go, 27 seconds. Here is Gunnar Ball, baseline drive, gets to the rim, missed the layup, and a second chance is put up and in by Eli Dean. Dean with a couple of rebounds, 61-59, and there's the foul with 16 seconds to go. It'll put Bauman to the free throw line to shoot a 1-1.
And that's a somewhat of a break for Perry because it's not Matthew Garber. So you somewhat catch a break where Garber doesn't have to come down and shoot the 1-1. So, and this pressure free throws here for Marcus Bauman, because you want to at least get the first one.
Yes.
Just 3 points for Bauman. He's been quiet tonight, 61% at the line this year. Calm, cool, collective, and he buries the first, and he'll get the bonus. He's now got 4, 62-59, the biggest one of them all.
Also, remember, Perry doesn't have any timeouts left.
I was going to say that, and Bauman also went 0-for-2 in the earlier in the game. I think he shot those technical free throws earlier, maybe, or shot 2 free throws. Oh, it was for Roki when he came out with the blood, but.
And he misses the second. Ball to rebound. It's a 3-point game. 14 seconds and counting. 62-59. Kneiper wanting a step back 3, launching. It's off the heel, no good. Rebound for Garber, and he's fouled with 6 seconds to go. Garber can ice the game at the free throw line and cross the 30-point threshold.
Yeah,
29 in the game.
And Gunnar Ball is not very happy with Cam Kneiper there. You see him saying, Cam, why? Because he shot about a 30-footer. And they definitely could have ran something better, got a better look. And
there was no ball movement. It was all Kneiper stepping back, a well-contested NBA wing 3 that was too strong. And now Garber at the line can ice it. He missed the free throw. And a chance here. 3 seconds to go. Ball for the tie. No good. And that's it. DeBetha wins it. A sensational game comes down to the wire, and the Blue Jays remain undefeated. 62-59. Our post game is next. It's brought to you by B Outdoors Real Estate. Buying or selling is the best in the business for recreational, residential, and agricultural real estate. 62-59, DeBetha, back in a moment.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Got your mind on Friday, Tyler. Hey, Tyler, win. Hey, Tyler, win. Tyler, win.
Hey, this is Ryan Limpool.
And this is Chris Seymour.
Stick around after the break
for the Be Outdoors Real Estate Postgame Show on 103.9 KNZA Hiawatha.
At Foster, Ford, and Holton, we know your time is valuable. To make it convenient for you, all of our new and used inventory is online at www.fosterfordinc.com. Search through our new and used inventory, and if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 785-364-4646, and we'll be glad to help. Or you can always come see us at Foster Ford on Highway 75 in Holton.
Holton Community Hospital is now partnering with Integrative Health Centers to provide behavioral, mental, and counseling psychiatric services for both children and adults. Behavioral health services now being included via telemedicine. Areas of focus include psychiatric, medication management, and individual and family care. Call Holton Family Medicine today at 785-364-2126 to schedule your appointment or to find out further information of how Holton Community Hospital and Holton Family Medicine can help you in assisting with behavioral health services.
Congratulations, you're having a little girl.
At that moment, everything changed. Our hopes and dreams for ourselves were instantly replaced by our hopes and dreams for her. We got life insurance policies from Shelter Insurance, so that regardless of what life throws at us, we'll still be able to provide the world to her.
Shelter Life Insurance Company, Columbia, Missouri.
Visit your local Shelter Insurance agents, Dan Lears in Hiawatha, Don Fate in Holton. Service is the key word you get when you pull into AG Service at 121 South 8th in Sabetha. Their goal is complete car care. They do custom exhaust, wheel alignments, brakes, shocks, struts, and tie rod ends. See them for tune-ups, oil and lube, batteries, tires, and computerized wheel balancing. And keep your vehicle looking good with their touchless automatic car wash. Stop in. They earn your business at AG Service, 121 South 8th in Sabetha.
Citizen State Bank in Hiawatha is your hometown bank. We offer professional, personalized banking services that include deposit accounts, loans, IRAs, trust services, and much more. Our bank has up-to-date technology so you can bank from home or on the go. We take pride in helping our customers achieve their banking goals. Call us or stop in anytime to see what we can do for you. Citizen State Bank and Trust in Hiawatha. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
Well, we had a couple minutes to take a couple breaths. That was fun, to say the least. How about the Sabetha boys pulling it out here at Perry, 62-59. It certainly did not come easy. We said it late in the broadcast. We saw just a little bit of everything here tonight. We saw physicality. We saw some finesse. We saw some up and down. We saw some slow transitional game or some slow tempos at times. It's just we saw runs from both teams and a game that was, for the majority, close the entire game. I think the largest lead of the game was 9 for Sabetha in the first half. But Perry came out dynamite in the third quarter, opened up on a 14-4 run, took a lead, had a lead for a couple of minutes, but then Sabetha went on a run, took a 5-point lead into the fourth. The show we saw from Matt Garber and Cam Kneiper down the stretch, exchanging buckets. They both go ballistic tonight. Garber with 29, Kneiper finishing with 27. But those two, the final few minutes, certainly kind of stole the show. But ultimately, a front end of a 1-1 was missed by Garber, and the Cause had a chance. A desperation three for a tie was no good by Gunnar Ball, and the Blue Jays hold on to move to 9-0. Pretty sensational.
Yeah.
Anyone?
I mean, yeah.
Anybody?
Perry had.
That's cool.
Perry missed 6 free throws, and they missed how many layups on stick backs that they had? They had 10 offense rebounds, and they all rebounded offensively. It was 26-26 rebounds, what I had by my count, but Perry had 10 offense rebounds to just 4 for Sabetha. We talked about the size that they have, and Perry had countless shots, especially down the stretch when it was 55-53 to take the lead, tie the game.
I think they had 4 shots on one possession. Plus, the ball went out of bounds, and I think they got a 5th opportunity to maybe tie or take the lead. Just could not get it when it mattered.
And they dug themselves a big hole in the first half, too. And, they had that great 14-4 start, like you said, to start of the third, but that only gave them a 1-point lead. And after that, Sabetha retook the lead, and they never gave it up again. That's one that's going to bite for Perry. You know, you have to go win at Holton and win at Sabetha to maybe even get a tie of the Big 7 title. But, you know, they're going to be hungry for those two because they dropped both of them at home in a four-point game and a three-point game. But that's one that's going to sting for a little bit for the Perry boys.
Yeah, and obviously, Trenton, you just said it. Perry, you lost both of the games that you needed to win to have a shot at winning the Big 7 League at home. Now you have to go on the road and play both of those teams at their place.
And Holton won tonight as well.
And Holton won as well.
So they
you got to be thinking Holton had it in the back of their mind, well, we know Sabetha and Perry are playing tonight. We're cheering for Perry because we want a shot at it, so we don't need Sabetha winning tonight. Well, Sabetha just won, so now if you're Holton, now you got to keep winning to keep in line with Sabetha. Now you got to hope Sabetha falters somewhere as far as Big 7 League plays is concerned. But here's my biggest takeaway from this game tonight. We talked about Sabetha being the second-best team in Class 3A.
Behind Southeast of Saline currently.
Obviously, we don't know how good exactly they are. Obviously, just go off their, you know, rankings in class. I haven't seen them play anyway. I don't know about you two.
No, I have not.
So we don't know exactly how good are they, you know, their league and everything like that. We'd have to see. So that's concerned. But the way Sabetha walked away with this win, obviously, there were some calls, again, you know, maybe missed, that were called that maybe could have went the other way, whatever it was. But the boys found a way to win here tonight. In a game this close on this floor, a road game of this magnitude, and you find a way to win, this shows you the kind of team Sabetha has at trying to make a run this season at State. And here's the other thing. We just talked about Sabetha, Holton, and Perry, all the top three teams in Big 7 League. Holton's Class 4A, they have a shot at possibly going to State in 4A. Then you look at 3A, again, Sabetha and Perry will play again one more time this season, and Sabetha, Perry hosts there's Class 3A Substate. Sabetha goes to Marysville for Class 3A Substate.
Marysville's
both teams
really
right
good
now,
too.
Both teams right now, you would say on paper, are going to win their Substate. If those two teams do, look for them to be on opposite sides of the bracket at Class 3A in Hutchison and possibly could meet up for the Class 3A State Championship in Hutch.
Well, we've done a couple of games with you, Logan, on the Sabetha channel. Trenton, we've done most of the games on our broadcast so far to this point. I don't think we had a better atmosphere yet than what we saw here tonight. This place was packed. It was loud. Both fan bases really engaged, and it was just a heck of a ball game. It's what we expected, and it certainly paid out to that, no doubt.
Yeah, and I definitely have to agree, but I think the second broadcast that matched this atmosphere was when we were at Royal Valley for Sabetha.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
It kind of gives you vibes of KU basketball. You know, when they go on the road, they're going to get everyone's best shot. They're going to get the best crowd. It's going to be an insane atmosphere just because of the power that they hold. And as you said, I mean, I think Perry's definitely a top 10 team in 3A. They're not going to get in the rankings because they're 6-3 and they got beat at home twice. But look at the competition they play, though. You can't tell me there's 8 or 9 other teams better than Perry in the Class 3A in the entire state. I mean, they're going to be hard to beat.
Well, to your point, Trenton, you look at it, you look at the final score, 62-59. Perry just took the second-best team in Class 3A right down to the finish in the first matchup of the season. If we see this in Sabetha, this kind of a game in Sabetha, Perry LeCompton should easily be up there with Sabetha in Class 3A in the rankings, at least top three, if not Sabetha and Perry, possibly top two, depending on what Southeast of Saline does.
And I think the problem with that in the rankings is they just look at scores. Like, you know, okay, you lost, you're dropping in the rankings, you're not going to be even considered, but you have to take in the magnitude of the teams that they're playing, because Holton should probably be ranked in 4A. I mean, they lost to, who'd they lose to in the first game of the year? And I mean, they obviously got beat by Sabetha.
Burlington.
Yeah, Burlington. Burlington's always usually pretty good, I feel like. So,
and they're two
quad losses. Yeah, so it's like, it's hard to find teams that are better than Perry and Holton. I mean, they even lost to Wellsville early in the season. That team, Wellsville was ranked at that time. They played Wellsville on a neutral court. So Perry's going to be a tough out in their substate, especially on their home floor.
Yeah, still so much more basketball to be played, but if this is just a little bit of a taste of what we can see down the stretch, it's going to be a lot of fun watching these two teams continue to compete. And obviously, again, as we mentioned, big win for Holton tonight. So now Holton in second place by themselves behind the Blue Jays as they now move to 9-0. And 7-0 in league play. Holton's win tonight moved them to 7-2, and now 6-1. Perry drops again to 6-3, and now third place in the Big 7 with a 4-2 league record. Let's run through the stats. It's brought to you by the Optimized Tax Management Group, providing the help you need when you need it. Visit member firms Holton Tax Services and Holton with Mike Tanking, Kay Onler, and Michelle Callison, or Northeast Kansas Tax Services, NEK Tax Services in Whiting with Jacob Yinks and Courtney Bronkoff. Well, for the Blue Jays again, Matt Garber, boy, that was a fun game to watch for him tonight. 29 points. He was 3-for-4 at the line. He did miss that front end. Or correction, 4-for-5 at the line, missing the front end of the 1-1, which gave Perry a chance to potentially tie the game, but that 3 desperation by Ball just missing and was able to allow the Blue Jays to hold on. But again, 29 big points for Matthew Garber to lead the way. Preston Michael off the bench, how about him? Came into the game averaging just 1.6 points per game. He hits 2 threes, his first made threes of the season, by the way, and he goes off for 10 points. A second leading scorer, Davis Roque, 9 points. Kind of a quiet night for him. And Christian McAfee, a near double-double with 8 points and 10 rebounds, but he fouled out in the fourth quarter. Rest of the scoring, Marcus Bauman with 4, Noel Niehaus finishing with 2 points and 4 rebounds. 12 turnovers for the Blue Jays. They were 10 of 14 at the free throw line. Again, Cameron Kniper leading Perry LeCompton, 27 points. He was 7 of 10 at the line with 3 rebounds. They also had 2 more in double figures with Eli Dean, who played really well. Eli Dean was certainly a big piece in that second half. He had 10 of his 12 in the second half. A near double-double as well for Gunnar Ball, 10 points and 9 rebounds. They also had 2 from Jack Golden, 2 points as well off the bench from Tyler Reed. Caused 8 turnovers, 28 rebounds. They were 11 of 17 at the free throw line. Well, now both these teams are going to step out of league play next week. They both have their midseason tournaments. Of course, you'll be heading off to that first round of the Burlington tournament next week. The Blue Jays, the number one seed, they will get a winless Paola team on Tuesday night, at least winless before tonight's action. So not sure who Paola was playing tonight, but had seen that Paola had yet to win a game. So the Blue Jays will have them Tuesday night. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a 5-ish so.
The boys play at 5:05.
5:05 for the boys. The girls will follow there at the Burlington Invitational on Tuesday night. Perry LeCompton, they are in the Valley Falls midseason tournament. So the Dragons hosting their tournament next week off the cusp. Thinking of other teams in that field, ACCHS, Perry LeCompton, of course.
JCN.
Valley Falls, JCN.
Rossville.
Jeff West.
Some team dropped out, so there's only 7, but look out, Valley Falls, because you're playing in a very, very angry Perry team that dropped 2 close ones at home in the league. So
yeah, they'll get Valley Falls on Tuesday.
Look out.
Again, after the cause, just coming up a little bit short here. So both of these teams in midseason tournaments. But I guess one final thought here before we wrap this one up. I guess we do got to announce our player of the game, our player to bank on, brought to you by Citizens State Bank and Trust Company in Hiawatha. I don't think there's any question about this, boys. It's going to be Matthew Garber, player of the game.
I feel like
29 points.
Preston Michael had somewhat of a shot because he had those 5 points when Perry went on that big run that kind of spurred him back. But obviously Garber down the stretch, he turned it on the fourth quarter. He didn't even score in the third quarter. So
think about that.
All 14 of his
29 points, he does not score in the third quarter.
14 came in the fourth quarter, and he dueled it out and with Kniper at the end, and he had the advantage because his team was winning. So he won the battle. And I mean, yeah, but Preston Michael is big off the bench tonight with all the foul trouble with Roque, McAfee, and Niehaus. And Matthew Garber, my 3A player of the year.
Right now, 29 points. Came in averaging 16.4 points per game, so that's going to go up a notch. 3 assists per game, a couple of steals, not quite 3 rebounds, 80% at the line. He led the Blue Jays last year in points and assists and steals and threes, and pretty much doing that once again in his senior campaign. All right, real quick, Logan, for you against Sabetha, off to Burlington next week. I don't know how much you kind of dug into that, but just kind of a quick preview there for the games on Tuesday.
Really, when you look at it, obviously, just looking ahead just for Tuesday, the Sabetha boys, you look at Paola, they've had some experience with them down there in the past. Paola's had some great players with some size. They're an extremely physical team. He just played an extremely physical team here, so you got a little bit of...
I don't know if you can get much more physical than what we saw here tonight.
Tonight was kind of a football game at some point. I mean, bodies were all over the place. And
if the JV officials from the first game were reffing this game tonight,
it'd be halftime.
We'd be in the second quarter.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just saying.
So on paper, by the boys, you'd look at that bracket completely. Obviously, they should take care of business Tuesday night. Obviously, you know, you just got to go out there and play your brand of basketball. Do it if you can. Obviously, again, it's the refs. You can't control what the refs are going to call, whatever. Just play the way you play. But the boys should get the win the first night. And then the rest of the tournament, really, if you look at the bracket and you look at their records and you look at, and you think about the teams that have played there in the past, the only other team right now on paper Obviously, you can say Burlington, but it seems like Burlington never makes it to their mid-season tournament championship. I've hardly ever seen them there in that championship game since I went down and covered it and everything. The other team is Rock Creek. Rock Creek is always a team down there that always makes a run.
It's a good team.
In the Burlington tournament. They're sitting at 6-3. They're on the opposite side of the bracket. We could see that matchup down there. Right quick for the girls' side, though, for the Spetha girls, your biggest thing is you got to win Tuesday night. Again, I talked about it. Spetha girls went 1-6 non-league last year. That was what hurt them the most when it came to sub-state seeding. So you want to have a better chance. You better get down there. You better win that game Tuesday night. You get that win, again, Friday night's the big one. You could play the number one team in Class 3A in the Silver Lake girls.
And then, of course, what is it, a week after? Spetha
goes they go to Silver Lake and
so
play them again.
Could see them
you
twice.
Have a chance. They did it last year.
Yep.
We could see it again. And here's the other thing. Again, we could see that that game three times. It's the Spetha and Silver Lake girls are on opposite sub-states as well. They could both go to state this season as well.
Well, again,
obviously, Seneca's going to have
right.
a lot of say in that.
And Effingham is
yeah.
really good in the NEKL. They just snapped the 51-game win streak of Jackson Heights the number two team in 2A, so that's a very good Effingham team also. So they're a former Big 7 team, and they're going to get a run, I think, on the girls' side for sure.
Boys, it was a lot of fun tonight. We saw a great boys' game. The Spetha girls were pretty dominant, I would say, really pulling away from that first quarter, winning the first game tonight, which seemed like a century ago. That was 48-21 in the first game, Spetha girls winning it. Here at Prairie Le Compton, Lady Blue Jays now 5-4, 4-3 in league play. Lady Caws are now 4-5, and 2-4 in league play. And in the nightcap, once again, Blue Jays win it in a thrilling, thrilling ball game. 62-59, Blue Jays stay undefeated, 9-0, and now 7-0 in league play. Caws drop to 6-3 and 4-2.
And right quick, final on the boys' side, we have a flip. Jeff West is going to move ahead of Hiawatha as they beat the Red Hawks at home tonight. 49-42.
Okay.
Jeff West, they didn't win a game last year. I remember we covered them once last year, Brandon. They didn't win a game. They're under Coach Smith. Joe Smith, I believe, is
second
name.
Year head coach Joe Smith.
Yeah.
Talk to him every week.
How about that? Building that program. That's, what, 3 or 4 wins for them now in the year.
That is their third win of the year for
Jeff
West.
That's a good win for them. I mean, they're in that Valley tournament. I mean, they're going to get Effingham, JCN. Depends on where they go. There's some team dropped out. I don't know.
Perry.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get Perry, maybe, but I think Perry's the odds-on favorite, but Jeff West could make a run in that tournament. You can't tell me they're not as equal as Effingham or JCN and the NEKL. Those are two of the top teams there, but I feel like Jeff West, just being in a league like this, it's just tough to come by wins for the most part with the talent on the top half of this league.
Yeah, so both boys, again, teams next week, mid-season tournament. Spetha will be at Burlington taking on Paola Tuesday night. Perry, they get Valley Falls on Tuesday at the Valley Falls mid-season tournament. Lady Blue Jays also at the Burlington tournament on Tuesday night. They get Ottawa, and the Lady Caws will have a week off. Their midseason tournament is until after next week. They'll have next Tuesday off. They'll get Hiawatha here at home next Friday night. Great stuff, guys, as always. Appreciate it very much. Kurt, killing it back in studio. We appreciate it very much. Hang around. Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is coming up here in just a little bit. But Spetha sweeps it here at Perry tonight. It is the Lady Blue Jays in game one, 48-21, and the Blue Jay boys in the nightcap staying undefeated, 62-59. For Kurt, everyone involved, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week for more high school hoops. The Community National Bank High School Scoreboard Show is coming up next.